Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
A venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
And why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king, and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watch. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watch.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's this fantasy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Lots to talk about this week. First off, a huge win in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, the Patriots. On top of most people's power rankings after that effort. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Paul's here. Andy's here. Eric's not, but that's okay. He's the only guy that picked the Patriots, believe it or not. So we'll be doing that for 2 hours, talking about the Pittsburgh game, the Colts coming up, everything else going around in the NFL, and there's a Northeastern basketball game on TV, so you can count on Paul being out of action for the next couple minutes or so.
Give me a minute.
It's only about a minute left, Freddie.
Northeastern's... trailing up, just went ahead of Southern Illinois.
Paul
by
just
a point.
Retore his Achilles.
Paul is like going crazy. This is, he doesn't want people to stand up at Patriots games, but right now he's jumping around the studio like a little schoolgirl.
This could be a big win for a young team on the road.
That's low level loser basketball.
This is a big time shot right there.
He's a big time player.
Lots of stuff to talk about.
It was small time.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. And, Andy, did you just come from the locker room? Oh, no, there's no locker room today. Where'd you just come from?
Did you get cold again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where'd you just come from?
The tunnel where there's like 500 people.
Oh, yeah? What are they doing?
I don't know. There was a huge group coming out of the Patriots team meeting room, you know, where we do our post-game press conferences, the theater there.
Yeah, the film room.
Big wigs. I don't know. Lots of people in suits and stuff.
Oh.
And then there's like a group of 35 kids come in the other direction. I don't know if they're shooting Patriots.
Probably totally Patriots.
Patriots. It's, you know, usually the tunnel, you're alone in there. There was, literally must have been 200 people in the tunnel.
Oh, a lot of stuff.
And then the Patriots working out a player. I know we don't talk about who it is specifically, but they definitely worked out a player this week.
Well, today is technically the player's day off, so they're out in the community today. Belichick have a press conference today?
Conference call.
Okay.
Nick Caserio as well, and Pepper Johnson. Fulfilling the coordinator requirement, despite the fact that he's a defensive line coach.
Okay.
Good week for Pepper. You know, I think he's the fiery guy, and you talk to him about bouncing back from
that. And that was a fiery win.
Yeah, I think that's a good week. And his group played well and stagnated kind of the Mendenhall attack there. Good week for a Pepper Johnson conference.
Well, guys, we all were wrong. Eric was right.
He wasn't.
He picked the
He doesn't put any actual analysis into it.
Well, he picked the Patriots, and he was the only one that did.
Do you feel bad that you were guilted out of picking the Patriots, Fred?
Because no.
I know that you really picked the Patriots.
No, that's not true.
You were prepared for the Patriots to win.
What an outstanding performance, though. I mean, really, on both sides of the ball, completely dominant. I'll be back in 20 seconds.
It really was. It just seems that the Patriots have the Pittsburgh Steelers defense figured out.
Yeah.
And particularly Tom Brady and the receivers, they just kind of was one step ahead of that, the pressure all night.
And took him out of the pressure. Harrison was dropping into coverage a lot. It reminds me of when we play the Chargers. Well, when we played the Chargers and it was Merriman, and you say, why is Merriman dropping into coverage every play? He's supposed to be rushing the passer. I don't know enough football fundamentally why, how they do it, but they make sure those elite outside linebackers, they try to get them in coverage rather than allow them to rush all the time. I don't know why other teams don't do it, because other games I watch, it seems like guys like Harrison are just pinning their ears back and coming.
Yep.
Patriots, they're dropping into coverage, but they did a nice job of that.
And that was the finesse part of the game, but the physical part of the game was also won by the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
The physical part of the game was absolutely dominated by the Patriots.
Okay.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
To say that they won the battle on both sides, both lines. Andy had the stats earlier about all the first down runs for Mendenhall. No more than three yards on any carry. That's winning the battle in the up front defensively and offensively. I mean, Brady didn't get sacked once all night.
And plus, you ran the ball a little bit, that was unexpected. Tomlin, Roethlisberger, Clark, I think it was, Ike Taylor, the coach, the offensive leader, and a couple guys on defense all said just flat out butt whooping.
Yeah.
We got our butts whooped. You know, they weren't buying into, you know, we scored some points late and we had some onside kicks. You know, this was a dismantling for them. They were embarrassed.
Yeah. No, I mean, and then you look at the fact that
I've never been such a Southern Illinois fan.
You know, we knew the Steelers' offensive line was banged up, but the question we had going in, would the Patriots be able to take advantage of that and get to Roethlisberger? The answer is absolutely yes.
Five sacks.
You know.
How about the individual matchup with Tully Bantakane and Jonathan Scott?
Yeah.
He's the guy he bitch-slapped last year in Buffalo, and now the Buffalo O-line coach came to Pittsburgh, brought Scott with him. He had to fill in at left tackle, and I don't know if you – that first spin move – it looked like the guy had never seen a spin move before. He made Bantakane look like Dwight Freeney. He spun to the inside and got there immediately. Yeah, the pressure, they answered every call. Like, everything you would have said they had to have done, you know, emotion, check, defensive front, stop the run, check, you know, pass rush, check. Everything, they checked it off.
The only thing they didn't do well was penalties. That was a little bit sloppy.
Good point.
But, you know, they were battling the refs. The refs were definitely homers in that game. They were definitely favoring
too many offensive penalties, especially.
One thing I didn't think the refs were calling was freaking holding on the Steelers. I mean, it was unbelievable. It's just ridiculous.
They got called for a lot of holding.
The only one that I saw that was blatant, Freddie, was when Mendenhall busted that like 40-yard run. Spikes got held by the tight end. It was Miller. That was the only one that was blatant to me on the replay.
All over the place.
He was outside of his body frame with one arm up under his pad.
I just thought there was nothing to complain about in this game at all. The Patriots were just so completely dominant.
Oh, you need to listen between 2 and 4 when John Rook has Nitpick Tuesday. That'll be something to complain about.
No, that's a good point. He'll find it. But you know, maybe that's all it'll be. They had a lot of penalties, 10 penalties. But to me, this was
sucky.
This was a flashback dominance to the earlier part of the decade when we used to go to Pittsburgh and do this on a regular basis.
Jordan says, let's jump straight to it. Andy must have felt like he was watching the new Jenna Jameson movie on Sunday night. Did it move?
What?
You don't know who Jenna Jameson is?
It's Jameson.
Oh, Jameson, whatever.
So apparently you don't know who Jenna Jameson is.
Well, I don't know how to pronounce her
talking
name.
About with Mendenhall and the 34-yard run? Because that was the only highlight he had the whole game.
Come on, Andy.
Gronkowski.
Your boys scored four touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. I said to Paul, my boys won the game. 28 points came from my boys. 3 for Gronkowski, 1 for Sanders.
Unless your boy is Tom Brady, they didn't win the game.
Does the receiver make the quarterback or does the quarterback make the receiver?
The only thing is Andy was more interested in Mendenhall.
We've talked about whether it was legal, dirty, whatever. I thought the hit that James Sanders, I didn't think he was trying to knock anybody out of the game, but the fact that they knocked Hines Ward out of the game was a timeout at 60-60, 1:07 to go.
They just got screwed.
Did they? They didn't give him two shots.
They didn't say it was two shots.
They said it was one and one.
Northeastern basketball.
But when Hines Ward went down, I didn't think any of the other receivers for Pittsburgh were anywhere near ready to step up. They dropped balls in the end zone. We're on the same page as Roethlisberger. I thought that was huge.
Yeah.
They took the life of that offense away in Hines Ward.
I mean, at one point, Roethlisberger was, 2 for 12 or something like that? Or something crazy?
Yeah,
like
it was
that?
2 for 11 maybe.
Yeah.
It was ugly, their offense early. They picked it up late, and some of those guys started making plays later, but when it counted, when the game was still on the line, those guys couldn't make plays.
Yeah, and, you know, McCourty had some bad plays, but he also had, you know, some decent plays. Arrington had an early breakup. Chung, I think his return really was a boost to the defense. you know, he certainly is. He's beginning to be like a little mini Rodney Harrison back there. He's very active against the run. He's physical. He's all over the field. You know, I think that was a boost to this defense.
Yeah, they were. Chris Collinsworth was raving about him. He had one play where he ran it down from the backside, and they were saying how it looked a lot like Polamalu. No, not in this game, because Polamalu, I'll put with Harrison, just flat out disappeared. When he, whatever he did was wrong. He would read things and try to be aggressive, and he was always misreading everything.
Yeah.
But Chung had a play where he came backside like a missile, like, you know, we always praise Polamalu for covering 10 yards in basically a couple steps. I think he's, I won't say the key to the defense, but he's the poster boy for that style, I think. He flies around, throws his body around.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he can maintain it, because it seems like he gets up slow after a lot of plays, but.
But the thing about the difference between Polamalu and Chung is I think Chung plays a little bit within the system, and I think Pittsburgh allows Polamalu to freelance a little bit
more. Right. Well, Chung's playing within the system as a second-year player who's in his fifth start or eighth start after missing a couple games. We'll see if he becomes an elite player if he freelances more. And they've actually talked about in Pittsburgh this year not as much freelancing from Polamalu. They're not asking him to do as much. The development of Lawrence Timmons, he has sort of taken over some of the roles that fell to Polamalu in the past. So that's kind of changed Polamalu's game here.
He was the one guy I was impressed with, by the way. I thought it was a terrible defensive performance by Pittsburgh, but he was one guy that – he flashed to me, making some plays close in coverage, whereas the other guy, one of the most eye-opening things to me, and I went in having absolutely zero respect for the Pittsburgh secondary, the fact that they were putting cornerbacks on Rob Gronkowski and still couldn't even stay close to him was amazing to me. William Gay was covering Gronkowski on the last touchdown, and he beat him like a rented mule. Yeah, I mean,
the
worst
part is,
competitive
as much as
coverage.
I love Gronkowski, he's not that fast.
No.
He's a slow-footed tight end whose skills are hands and
that
route
defense
running.
Is all about the pressure. That's the one thing that we had right last week. If you can protect Tom Brady, he will pick you apart in against this secondary, and he did.
Let's stick with my boys. Did you think that was a good offensive pass interference call on him? I thought it was weak.
I think any time you extend your arm, you're going to get called, unless it's Roddy White and it decides the game.
I just think if he wants to throw a guy to the ground, he's big enough. He's going to throw him to the. I thought he touched him. Yeah. Sure,
I didn't hear a lot of people.
I thought it was
complaining.
It was mutual touching too.
Yeah, and mutual touching.
Is this a strip club in Houston?
It was consensual interference.
Horseplay. It was. Yeah. Well, what's the call if he runs down, doesn't extend his hands at all?
Illegal contact.
And then he puts the two hands. I don't see.
Right.
I don't think it is. I don't think they
call it all the time.
Oh, I do.
They
that
do.
Gets
they
called
call
all the time.
Time.
I mean, let's face it.
I hate both.
That gets called a lot more on the defense than the offense, but I think the difference in this play was the arm is extended by Gronk, and I think that's why you get the call.
What about
it's
Merriweather
not about
call.
The amount of contact.
What about the Merriweather call?
I thought
call?
It was fine. I mean, I know Patriots fans are worked up. I think you go through the body, and you get called for that. Yeah, you have a right to the ball, but you don't have a right to go through the offensive
line.
Problem
is, I thought it was a fairly straightforward
when you're
call.
Both looking up, though, who's running through who?
You can't
Merriweather ran through the receiver. To go after the ball.
Yeah.
Well, didn't the receiver run through Merriweather, too?
No.
Why not?
Because Merriweather hit the receiver.
Who initiated
not the other
the
way
contact?
Around. Who initiated the contact?
If they're both looking up in the air, they both have equal contact.
No. Merriweather made the
if
movement.
If I'm running for the ball, and you're running for the ball, and we both are looking up for the ball, who's making contact?
It depends who's closer to the ball.
Who has
and in
position.
This case, it was Wallace. He was on the inside, and Merriweather came from the outside.
He came from behind. There's no doubt
about that.
And
that's why
he
hit him. He had to go through the receiver to get to the ball.
I don't know.
I thought it was a fairly obvious call, to be honest with you.
I did, too.
I know a lot of people were up in arms. I mean, the whole press box was aghast. It was unbelievable. I mean, there was 17 tweets within the first
it's because live,
3 minutes of that.
Live, especially on the TV. When the camera pans down to Merriweather, you don't see how he got to his position.
Right.
You just see him looking like he's in a position to make the pick.
Hey, guess who just got released?
By
Brandon
Jeff
Merriweather.
Jeff
from the Steelers.
Reed.
Oh, Jeff Reed was
Jeff
on the block.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Reed just got released. So yet another team
when
the Patriots have played resulted in somebody losing their job after that. I like it.
I'm pretty sure it's his fault he lost his job.
When the idiot kicker misses a kick, then you get rid of him. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing if you have an idiot kicker, but he makes all the kicks. When you have an idiot kicker and he misses all the time, and he's had a terrible year for them. You know, as Chris Gasper said last week, when your kicker frosts his tips, he's probably a douche.
What? Oh, boy. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Dan from Hopkinton writes, and he says, glad to hear you're calling Chung a mini Harrison. He's not there yet mentally, but he's showing that he could one day be someone legendary like Harrison. And mad props to Crumpler.
Can't believe I get so much joy out of watching someone block, but I get excited every time I see Crumpler make key blocks, and that happens often. How was Merriweather supposed to play that pass interference? He looked at the ball hit his hand. How is that supposed to happen? What if he had picked off the ball? Pass interference?
Yep.
If he goes through a player, it goes through the receiver to pick off a pass, yes. And I can show you plenty of examples of that. Maurice Hurst back in the day.
I remember that call in Atlanta, and it was a bad call.
But I'm saying if that's what they rule, that's what they would call. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are making it out to be if he picks the pass off, it wouldn't be interference. Right. Yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm. Freddie, can I play a quick game with you?
Go ahead.
Name the top passers in the National Football League right now based on passer rating. The first one's easy.
Well, Vic is 116 or something.
115.1. Who's second?
I'll bet you Matt Castle.
No.
Rodgers?
Nope.
Second would be
Philip Rivers.
Rivers was up there, but
Rivers is third.
Okay, number two. It's not Schaub.
Nope.
I don't know. It's
David Garrard.
David Garrard. Wow.
104.9, and I think this is interesting.
That I would have never thunk.
Brady's fifth, or one, two, three, fourth, and Vince Young is fifth. Three of the top five passers in the National Football League right now, black quarterbacks.
That's good.
I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
I just see quarterback, Andy. I don't look at it that way.
Oh, come on. We know that position is like the lightning rod for racial discussion.
It's African-American.
You know, Bo Jackson was talking about how
African-American.
Cam Newton would have gotten to play quarterback in the past, blah, 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 all
right.
That. I just think it's interesting. I also didn't happen to know that David Garrard had a 104.9 passer rating.
He's been really good when they've won games this year and really bad when they've lost. I am surprised that it's that high.
Yeah, 15-7 touchdown interception. He's completing 69.4% of his passes.
Wow.
Which is very impressive.
Very good.
Borderline
man.
70. Just having a great year.
Yeah, he's had some really, really good games in victory this year. He was outstanding in Dallas, for example, a couple of weeks ago, and I think statistically he was great yesterday. It doesn't help. Sunday. It doesn't hurt to have that Hail Mary that they ended up winning the game on.
But
he's been very good in the games that they've won, and they're 5-4, I think.
Yep.
So it's not like they're having a bad year, terrible year, anyway.
Well, they're 5-4 this year. In previous years, that would have been 3-7 or whatever. Well, whatever it adds up to, 3-6. I am now, you know how people like to, different eras, quarterbacks, to compare Brady to Sammy Baugh, you inflate Sammy Baugh. It's kind of like they do with inflation.
Yeah.
Well, I'm now deflating win-loss totals this year. It's not the same. It's a different league. So if you're 5-4 this year, you would have been 3-6 in any other year.
So if you're 7-2, what would
7-2, you probably take away 2. 5-4 is closer. 6-3. I think we need to do that. You need to equate it to other
years.
Yeah,
but in order to do that, other teams have to have those wins that you just lost.
No, not, it that's doesn't not the work, way it works. Andy. That's not the way it works.
Doesn't work.
It's not a sophisticated formula.
No, it's not.
I made it up right there.
Kamani writes, and I want to apologize to the Patriots defense for all the horrible things I said about them last year and at the beginning of this year. During that time, I called them jerk-offs, mediocre, Jags, and I also said they sucked. Now I have proved my them.
Now last year or last week?
Both. Now they've proved themselves to me, and that ain't easy. Now I see them as Super Bowl ready. That is, unless they have 3-game string of bad defenses, and I'll be back on their case.
Or they play the Browns. I mean, literally, I think I'm assuming that was somewhat sarcastic, but they're Super Bowl ready. They're a week removed from the most embarrassing effort they've put forth in forever.
I mean, there's no team right now, as we've said, even last week, that is ahead of the pack. So all teams are Super Bowl ready.
That's why he's sitting here at 5-4. The Patriots are the best team in football.
I've
win-based formula.
Now the weekend was, would have been perfect had it not been for the lucky effing Colts and the lucky effing Jets.
The Jets one was ridiculous. I mean, did you see the end of that game where Eric Wright has no intention of tackling?
Oh.
I mean, it's like, he just assumed somebody else was going to or didn't want contact or what have. I mean, it reminds me of remember the Antonio Cromartie play that ran him out of San Diego essentially last year?
Well,
where they said he shied away from,
it was 2 weeks ago in Dallas.
This is as embarrassing a play as, in overtime.
Yeah.
They should have, and not to mention the interception, they clearly should have knocked
Jenkins
down.
Jenkins in Dallas 2 weeks ago did the same thing.
Yeah, but this was the last play of overtime.
Yeah, I mean, the clock was so big in that
play.
This
was it.
And I know the kid's just trying to go up and make a play. I think it was Hayden. Wasn't it Hayden that
for
picked
what?
Off the pass for Cleveland? That picked off the pass inside the five. It was Joe Hayden,
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the other one, yeah.
I just thought that, you know, you're around a minute left in overtime. You're basically, you took away your chance to win the game because it's almost impossible coming out of your own 5-yard line for you to get 50 yards in less than a minute in overtime. You know, and then they throw a pass deep and it's incomplete. Then the Jets crank up the pressure. They almost won it with a safety. I mean, they got the sack on McCoy.
It was a little scary there.
Yeah, he just got out of the end zone with some good presence, good field presence to make sure he stepped up. Yeah, they got lucky. I mean, anytime you miss 3 field goals in the game and you win, that's pretty lucky. You know, and
well, but that's the other way. Like,
I know they probably should have won the game anyway.
No, but I think had they stopped him, there's a chance that he misses the field goal. I think he stinks, Folk. I think he absolutely stinks.
Listen, there's a reason why he got dispatched out of Dallas.
That's why it's even
He's
more important
great this year,
to make
though.
A tackle, to not stink, to not just lay it on. I mean, Eric Wright should be run out of Cleveland. Run out of Cleveland. Get rid of him.
Okay.
You also follow, if we're going to bounce around the league a little bit here, the Parcells, Belichick family continues to make post-game handshakes, must-see
yeah,
TV.
Yeah, what is that? Todd Haley and Josh McDaniels.
Haley officially apologized today.
Yeah.
In his press conference, opened his press conference with it, said he has not contacted McDaniels to apologize in person. But why do all these coaches, and apparently what he said was...
He wagged his finger at him, and he said, you better watch it, people are talking about you.
Well, yeah, with some vulgarity in there.
Yeah,
according to the transcript I read from a TV station that
got
the footage. And he didn't back down today. He apologized, but he said he would have handled it differently, but I wanted to communicate to everyone watching how I felt or something. Like, he still feels the way he felt. He's just saying I shouldn't have done it that way.
Yeah.
He's clearly still ticked off.
Well, what was he mad about? Running up the score? But I also heard there was a late hit on an
onside kick that he may have been. And then
what does McDaniels have to do with that?
But the issue was apparently the sideline was kind of laughing after the hit or mocking the hit or something. And you know, Josh can be emotional.
I'll tell you, that gets under my skin.
He can be emotional, and if he was whooping it up after a guy, I could see how that could rub somebody the wrong
way. Yeah, I'd have to see. That's the kind of stuff you have to see.
Right.
But I would tend to think that they probably did run it up a little bit. And if he's doing that fist pumping, if they're doing the fist pumping stuff at inappropriate times,
it'll rub people the wrong way.
That's what happens.
Yeah, they were blitzing Castle.
When you're running it up,
unnecessarily.
As the head coach, you have to pretend like you're not running it up.
Exactly.
You can't, you know.
Bill did a fine job of it in 07.
Right. No, Bill's facial expression rarely changes during the course of a game. Right. So you're right.
Yep. So, and you know, people are starting to see what I saw last year. And once again.
What's
you
know, that?
That he couldn't coach?
That he's an immature person.
Oh, I thought it was that he couldn't coach.
He probably can coach, but it'll be some time before, you know, he finds his...
I think his bigger issue is trading away his best players.
Well, that
his running back, his quarterback, and his wide receiver. He shipped them all out of town.
Do you remember the kid Andy who used to work here as an intern, Andy Town? They just showed him on TV.
Loser.
Joe writes in, hi, my name is Joe, and I'm living in San Antonio, Texas for the last couple of years, but I've always been a Pats fan. The discussion of Tom Brady being emotional on the field hasn't come up much yet, but I wanted to comment. Tom Brady is a perfectionist. Belichick is a perfectionist. And I think they were coached up well this week, and Tom was simply showing that on the field. Tom was working with a lot of new guys, was shouting them out on bad plays. However, if you notice when they were doing well, he was just as or even more emotional. The QB sneak and the spiteful spike was awesome. I think Tom has been getting a bad rap. The guy is a true leader, and he can put his money where his mouth is, and I am sure the guys on the team know it.
I agree with all that. I think you saw the same Tom Brady you always see. The one thing that I thought was a little different was addressing the crowd. I thought he really went at the crowd after the spike. I thought that was a little...
Well, you don't know what they were saying to him. I'm sure
they
were
off. No, I don't, but I also...
What?
Don't you
it would be okay if they said,
don't you
hey,
wish
Tom.
He was your dad? Like,
hey,
you
Tom.
Came home from school in a fight? Yeah, but you don't know what they said to
your
him.
Your mother wears army boots.
Well, no, my issue is, it's different. I don't care really that he did or didn't do it or what they're saying, but my guess is they've been saying bad stuff to him in the past.
Right.
I don't remember him addressing an entire frothing Steeler Nation.
It's a good moment to do it.
I love Brady's fire. I have no problem with it.
Fire.
Yeah, fire. He's got the fire in his belly.
He was on fire.
I have no problem with it. I don't. I forgot I wasn't on the mic.
He thinks we have mics that are wireless now. Yeah. He's over getting a cup and he's talking.
But I liked it, and it isn't anything new.
No,
I mean, he's always been that way.
Good or bad.
Yeah,
He's on the practice field that way.
I think
Remember when he called his linemen fat cows?
Right.
He's emotional.
I think he was especially emotional early because he knew that he had this team.
Well, they were wasting opportunities.
Right, and he knew that they were leaving points in the field, and he wanted to make sure that that didn't continue because, you know, it's like, you know, Paul knows, like, when you're up at bat and you know you can hit this pitcher and you didn't, you know, it's the same type of thing where you know you have a defense.
You miss one.
Yeah.
When you miss one. I mean, you see a lot of major league hitters, they know when they got the pitch they should hit that at bat.
Right.
And if you foul it off, you know, I'm probably not going to get another one like that.
Right.
And in a tough place like Pittsburgh, as well as they were playing, to not have built a somewhat comfortable lead, that's worrisome because it can go the other way. Like, you know, a strip sack, anything, all of a sudden, boom, that whole game changes. You're one play away.
Yep.
What is wrong with you?
Paul is just
speaking of emotion. This is embarrassing.
That's going to be on SportsCenter.
One of the cheapest wins in the history of college basketball.
Did you win?
They held on to win. It's a tie game. Northeastern has the ball in the final seconds of overtime. They're holding it for the last shot. Shot goes up. They miss with 2 seconds left. Southern Illinois gets the rebound and calls timeout. They didn't have any timeouts left. Technical foul.
Marcus Weber, whatever his name was.
Northeastern hit the free throw and won.
What was that kid's name?
Chris Weber.
Chris Weber. Who's Marcus Weber?
God only knows. Maybe he's related to Rodney Mayo.
I think I was thinking of Marcus Spears.
I think I just tore my rotator cuff with that fist pump.
Wait, who's Marcus Spears? Isn't he the Globe guy?
Yes.
I don't know.
I believe he's a defensive lineman, too, though.
Yeah,
isn't he?
There is a Marcus Spears in the NFL.
On the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was a different first name.
And then there's probably a Chris Spears, so I was thinking of Chris Weber as being Marcus.
There's a Chris Canty.
All right, that's going to be it for – no. But we are going to take a quick break because James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan of the year, has bought us lunch once again on Tuesday, and it has arrived. So give us a second, and we'll be right back.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos, Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
fact,
tonight.
I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. By the
Whose junk haven't you seen? You've seen Geno's in your dreams. You've seen Greg Oden. You've seen Brett Favre. You've seen a lot of junk, huh?
Yeah. Ever been in a locker room?
I don't look.
But you've seen it.
No, I don't.
You know, it's not
ask
like
Paul. When I walk up to a player and he drops
the door,
Logan Mankins would be
the exact.
I run the other way.
I'm telling you, you are inside. Yeah. It's coming out. That's your problem. It's all built up inside, it's causing you trouble.
My gayness.
You should just be yourself. By the way,
we'll accept you.
Yeah,
Eric will.
I'll hate you just the same, no matter what your preference is.
If anyone in Crass Sports Group is listening to the show, send down Lindsay. I got some things I need to talk to her about.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't have to make us uncomfortable because you need to make her uncomfortable.
No, I have some things I want to discuss with her, all right? So if you're listening, send her down.
How did we get from Jen Sturger, Brett Favre, and junk to Lindsay?
No, I just was reading some other things.
It's a pretty easy correlation when you think about it, Andy.
No.
Are you sending inappropriate text to Lindsay?
Nope. It's not what you think. So
if you could see your junk when you looked down, you'd send it to her.
Send her down, and I just need some questions I have to ask her.
On air?
Yes, on air.
That's appropriate.
It is totally appropriate. So
I don't think
you're going to ask her if she specifically recommended the place that we went to.
I don't want to give it away yet.
That's why I didn't give the details.
Right. Yes.
I said that quite innocuously.
I want her opinion. Yeah. Michelle writes in from Los Angeles. Love your show. Listen every day. It was really great to see you at the San Diego pre-party this year. This is the second time I'm writing and hoping you might read my comments. Well, your hope is what?
Fulfilled.
I have not seen Brady play with such precision in a long time. I wish he would do more of that. Why is it that the Pats don't use Brady's throwing capability more often? They spent so much time in the rushing game this year, which had to be improved. However, after watching a great performance by our offense yesterday, it's clear Belichick can make the passing game work and be brilliant. It's obvious Brady can still throw the ball into tight spaces and make the connection, as long, of course, if the intended receiver catches the ball.
Did we see a little more play-action fakes?
I thought so, and they were effective.
No, I know.
Which I was very surprised by, because I know the Patriots ran the ball for more yards than Pittsburgh's accustomed to allowing. I mean, they had 100 yards, and they usually allow 58.
Right.
But it didn't, in my opinion, really impact the game very much.
But
impact the linebackers, which I thought was really, really strange. Why were they biting on those fakes so much?
I don't know, but they were working.
Maybe that's
but
something they saw on film. That's why.
Maybe that's why they're so good against the run.
Right.
They overplay it. Brady was excellent in every facet.
So no one else
of that
has figured
game.
Out to go play action?
I don't know what to I think the difference, Andy,
Andy
is the Patriots protected. The Patriots protected.
We're smarter than everyone else.
That's right.
Because I'll tell you right now, the fourth quarter of the Cincinnati game looked a lot like all four quarters of the Patriots game. Cincinnati picked up all the pressure, gave Carson Palmer time in that Monday night game the week before, and he picked him apart. Except for when T.O. decided he wasn't going to try, much like he did against Indianapolis, by not putting his hands out for a perfectly thrown ball, and it wound up getting picked off.
Right.
But I thought their offense in the fourth quarter, Cincinnati, when they were handling the blitz, looked exactly like the Patriots did. They had wide open receivers all over the field.
All right. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. On it right now is Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Hello, Larry.
Fine, man. This is the first time I ever got through, so it's exciting for me.
It's a tough call to get through on it. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Well, I want to start off saying it was a great, great win for Pats fans everywhere because that game right there, when 829 got there, like, what, 820? My heart was still beating. And every snap, my heart was beating like, I hope Brady don't get hurt. See what happened in Miami today, on Sunday.
Oh, I know.
But, well, you must have really been scared when they hit his knee.
Oh, yeah.
Because that looked bad. We were talking about it off the air. I think without the knee brace, that would have been an injury. I think he was saved there by the knee
brace. Was that a clean hit, you think?
By the NFL rules? No. And he made contact.
Well, they ruled on the field that Matt, and on the replay, it looked like it was finishing a block. But Brady immediately looked, I mean, not necessarily the right gauge, but Brady immediately looked at the ref, and the ref motioned that he got pushed. He looked like he was going to start to use the go to the flag, and then he stopped.
I thought it was close.
I was surprised.
You can even hit without hitting. I thought the guy really hit.
I was surprised. I thought a flag was coming on that.
I was scared.
Yeah, the panel went low. Yeah, when he was coming off, it was low.
First thing I thought of was Brian Hoyer against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
Then that would have been a little different game.
Yes.
Yeah. But I had a question. This is regarding Pat Chung. Is he okay?
Well, he
said after the game that it was nothing. He was just dealing with some cramps. Now, there was some time there that it looked like they were working on his knee.
Yes.
So I'm not positive on that.
He could have had a cramp that was near the knee, you know, upper or lower leg.
You know,
as a
point of comparison, I thought it was funny. Hines Ward, who went out and clearly was dealing with a head issue, a concussion.
Except for the lie they announced.
Yeah, they announced a neck injury. But I'll tell you, on the bench when they were working on, the trainers were working on him, they were giving him the ACL test. So I was like, I don't have any idea what was going on.
Well, I think that was...
He might have gotten his legs caught underneath him.
Well, I think they were testing the strength to his extremities. I think they were concerned because he stumbled coming off the field, and I think they were concerned that neurologically something wasn't firing to give him the strength in his legs to support him.
Yeah. But as far as Chung goes, Larry, you know, again, he said it was cramps. The fact, you know, when you saw him walk off, he wasn't limping, and the fact that they let him back in the game kind of indicates that it must not have been the knee.
Well, I was talking about the second injury,
like a couple
though.
Yeah, he was up and down a few times.
No, Larry's right.
Well, if he was having cramps, that would also...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I just wondered about that. And Brady had an awesome game. Couldn't have scripted any better. And, you know, one time for G-Force. You know, he came out big.
Absolutely.
That's right, baby. Yeah. 3 touchdowns, 6 on the year, just as we predicted.
Yep.
And he was beating some pretty good guys.
He was beating cornerbacks, which
game.
Is... Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really good. So I thought Hernandez would be the down-the-field threat, but G-Force can do it.
G-Force down the seam. We've been calling for it all year. We saw it, and it was a pretty touchdown.
Yeah, G-Force isn't going to get the yards after catch that Hernandez does, but as far as, you know, getting down the field, like you said, Larry, he can do it. There's no doubt about it.
That was a pretty touchdown. Yep. Great throw, nice catch, taking advantage of the size,
the
body, everything.
Gronkowski makes catches down the field. I agree with what Fred said. He's not going to be the yards after the catch, but his passes travel further than Hernandez's generally do.
Yards at catch.
True. Yeah.
He's usually at an out or like a curl, deep curl, and then he takes it upfield. Yeah, that's true.
He's a good route runner, too. I mean, that touchdown, the third touchdown when he broke it to the flag, that was a really nice route, and that was
all
a great catch.
All I could think of was 2004, that post move that Deion Branch did to open up the game. That's all I could remember, the flashes of, that AFC game. It was just...
I even wrote that on the blog. I said, flashes of Super Bowl past. Yep.
Wow, everybody getting excited.
All right, Larry, thanks for the call. That's Larry from Miami. I think that's the first time we ever heard from him.
Congratulations, getting through. It's a tough line to break.
It is.
And I emphasize line.
You mean lines?
No, line.
508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. We do have an open line right now, so it's a good time to call.
Up next, Tom,
Larry
Tim,
just hung up.
Ted. I like when they list the names on Real Radio.
You don't have to give it away like that.
We have lots of lines.
Let's see. Steve writes in, and Steve last week was talking about a conspiracy, and he wants to back it up. Let's see. Steve is from Albany, and he calls himself the conspirator. He says, the interesting thing about conspiracies is that they cannot be proven or disproven, much like talk radio speculation. However, I stand on my initial email regarding the Patriots' loss in Cleveland. I believe football games are life-size chess matches between coaches, and as all the masters know, you have to sacrifice a bishop if it means capturing a queen. Now, I think all of you will agree that Belichick is a master of the game, and I believe he strategically made that sacrifice, and one that turned out to be quite rewarding. And as I theorize, the Steelers underestimated the Patriots, much like three out of four of you guys did on Thursday when making your picks. You cannot say they didn't.
The game, I can say that.
The game was in Pittsburgh, and it was their homecoming weekend. Usually the home team gets fired up for those games. I don't see any fire. Furthermore, the Patriots players, especially the rookies, were more determined than I saw all year. Another reward.
Yeah. Can we just stop this?
Okay.
I'm not diminishing anything the Patriots accomplished on Sunday by saying that Pittsburgh didn't play the game well and was flat and didn't take them seriously. That's garbage. The Patriots took their will away from the opening kickoff, and they never got off their throat for 60 minutes. This wasn't a lack of effort on Pittsburgh's part. That's garbage.
You know what a good addition to the conspiracy theory would be, though? Everyone says, you know, he would never let Mangini do it to him.
Right.
You know, if he was going to sacrifice a game, he couldn't stomach it being Mangini.
Right.
But what if he believes by doing that, he keeps Mangini in Cleveland, which actually helps the Patriots because he thinks Mangini stinks and he can beat him
right.
when he really needs to at whatever point he needs
Interesting.
To.
Interesting. Well, anyway, Steve wraps it up. He says, finally, a big salute to Eric for maintaining his loyalty to the team.
Are you freaking kidding me?
For the rest of you, shame. Have you no faith? I look forward to hearing how you plan to rationalize your poor decisions.
Well, I just thought the Steelers were better and at home.
I have no rationalizing. I was wrong.
Yeah,
but,
I was too. And Eric.
Eric dumped this
yeah,
team
for all
a
you
year
people
ago.
Who think that Eric is back on the bandwagon, that was a pick against Roethlisberger,
yes.
who he hates. So it has nothing to do with the Patriots.
And that's a great point by Fred, too. It's like Andy said at the beginning of the show, and you just said, it's not like Eric broke it down and said, I see this and this matching up really well for the Patriots, and this is another factor that's... It was two things. It's one, Roethlisberger hatred, and two, just decides to take a shot and be a contrarian.
Right.
That's all he did.
Mark in Florida says, can the Pats win with their current place kicker? And that would be Shane Graham.
Absolutely. I mean, he missed an extra point. I mean, we're going to kill him for that? I see a lot of criticism in the blog.
Although I did hear somebody say in the press, who misses extra points in the NFL?
There's, you know, a lot of kickers miss extra points in the NFL. There's four or five missed a year. I'm not excusing him for it. I'm not saying that's a great thing that he missed an extra point. But I thought his kickoffs were decent. And I also thought he exhibited a strong leg. I thought that it looked like there was some pop in his kicks. Pre-game, he was hitting from 53 yards. So, you know, you had some distance there. You had some strength in the leg. He missed an extra point. The other team's kicker missed what qualified as an extra point, too.
And got fired.
And they were both, by the way, complaining about the conditions of the field.
Really?
And about how they may have contributed to the kicks. I'm not ready to kill Shane Graham because he missed an extra point. Now, if it goes further, where he's you know, shaky on extra points and you know shaky on field goals inside of 40 yards, you know, maybe I'm wrong. But I thought the snaps, for the most part, were right on the money, and I thought the kicker was fine. And that's basically what Bill said, by the way.
If the Patriots hadn't signed him, is there a chance Shane Graham would be the Steelers kicker this week?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, yeah.
He might have been the Bengals kicker again. You see, the Bengals kicker's out for the year. Nugent got hurt on that onside kick. Did you guys see that?
I'm not sure the Bengals would bring him back.
Yeah,
it's not the way they carried him off.
Yeah, like a little rag doll.
Yeah,
like Brett Favre.
Oh, it was
worse.
Who
admitted he was milking it?
It was worse than
Brett Favre. He admitted to Steve Mariucci in the interview that he was milking it.
On the chin?
Yeah, the whole
thing. Which one? Because it's been so many times.
He admitted, well, first of all, he claims, I still haven't seen a ton of blood. I guess it was bleeding a lot. He claims the reason he was he was getting sick. He can't stand the sight of his own blood. He thought he was going to puke. He thought he was going to pass out. That was part of it. But then he joked, I'm just going to get a free ride. I'm going to get help off the field. I'm old. Like he was. I think he knows he looked like a drama queen now and is playing it up like that's what I meant to do. I don't think he really meant to do it at the time. I still don't understand why it was such. Because he's like, and the trainers told me that's one of the worst cuts I've seen in my career. Oh, you can see bone. You can see meat. I still can't even see where it was. Mm. I don't see this dramatic. It's only been a couple weeks. I should still be, if it was the worst gash ever, I should still be able to see something.
Well, it was right underneath, so I don't know.
Ah.
But
poppycock.
There wasn't even blood on his shirt.
That guy's ridiculous. He's ridiculous.
And it didn't drip out of his hand. Even if there were a lot of blood when he grabbed it, you would have seen some. Remember Peyton? Eli Manning. Yeah. There was blood everywhere on that one.
That was like WWE with the fake.
I think he would have had reason to get queasy and pass.
And he
out.
Wanted to stay in the game.
Right.
It was a preseason game.
Because he's tough. He's a Manning. Favre is the wussiest quarterback to start 200 straight games in the history of the league.
Lyndon from California writes in, I participated in Kirschwords for the first time this week. I enjoyed Fred's commentary as well as some of the comments from other participants. Last week, Paul said he'd be pissed if the Pats beat the Steelers the week after they lost to the Browns.
Yeah, I was wrong about that.
Now?
I was wrong about that.
He's pissed.
What surprised you more in Sunday night's game? Rashard Mendenhall being limited to 50 yards the week after Hillis ran for 180-plus. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis running for 80-plus yards when all of the other backs the Steelers faced were held to less than 55, keeping in mind the Steelers previously faced Michael Turner, Chris Johnson, Ray Rice, Peyton Hillis, and Cedric Benson. Or three, Gronkowski having what could be the game of his career 1 week after being the GOAT.
So definitely not three. No surprise there.
Which surprised you the most, one, two, or three?
Two.
Two?
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Out of those three things, I would say two.
See, although I will say,
but once they passed the way they did, you could see that's how the Patriots get their yards.
But he had 17 yards on his first carry. But,
yeah, I didn't think that they would run the ball out of running formations even as well as they did. Yeah.
I didn't think he'd have a 17-yard run.
And he had like three
of
them.
Which was the longest of the year against the Steelers. Well, that's the other thing. I do think it was a little hot and cold. He had 17, 13,
but isn't that
15. There was ones and twos in there, too.
Right. But isn't that kind
no,
of
No, I know.
Football,
I'm not discrediting it. I did the same thing for Mendenhall. You take away his 34-yard run into that blitz by McCourty, and he had like 10 carries for 17 yards.
Is that what happened
something.
On that play? I missed the McCourty
blitz. Yeah, McCourty was in the back. He blitzed. He was in the backfield,
and
Mendenhall
right
made a nice wiggle,
well,
and then he gave a nice wiggle at the second
incredible
level.
Incredible use of the block. It was the only positive that he had the whole game, really. Not his fault. The Patriots just smothered him. But watching him set up the block, I think it was Heath Miller on Spikes. I think it's the one that Kevin was saying might have been a hold. But Chung was all alone, and he was to the outside. So if Mendenhall bounced outside the block, Chung would have been there to tackle him, maybe a five-yard gain. He cut to the inside of the block for the purpose of setting up Chung, and then he immediately bounced outside back to all that green space. But now Chung was almost picked off by Spikes
right. Because
he used that block to actually set a pick for two guys, and then he was down the side. By the way, that's how you finish a run. The last 10 yards of that, he took someone for a ride. I don't remember who, but that makes sense that McCourty was on a blitz on that play because there was no contain over
McCourty
there.
McCourty was like a yard deep in the backfield, I think, or right at the line when he made a miss.
The most secondary blitzes in a game that I can recall from the Patriots.
Yeah,
Sanders,
I gotta say it,
McCourty.
By the way. Jimmy is useless.
He's not a good blitzer.
Jimmy is absolutely
very
useless
slow
as a blitzer.
Blitz.
Yes.
He runs into Mwelde Moore and falls down.
And he stops.
At the block. He stops a yard before the block. He doesn't explode through the blocker or put a move on. He looks like Derek Burgess when he got to the right tackle. He just pitter-patter.
I noticed that. You're right.
And I love Jimmy as much as anyone. I give him great credit for the impact he had on this game. He's not going to make a huge impact blitzing very often.
Also, what surprised you more Monday? McNabb signing a contract worth up to $88 million with 40 guaranteed, keeping in mind the last time we saw him play, he was benched in favor of Rex Grossman, and the fact that Brady's contract was 49 guaranteed, or Vic accounting for five TDs in the first half of Monday's game, and the final stat line he gives as well. So what surprised you more, McNabb's contract or Vic's game?
If McNabb's contract had been real, it would have been McNabb's contract.
Yeah.
But It's $3.75 million we've seen now. He gets that money this year. There's an option to pick up next year at $10 million and then all the other stuff after that. So there's a good chance they can just part ways with him this offseason, and they cost him less than $4 million.
And I think they will.
I don't know why they did it. I don't get this where you have to fix the PR issue or whatever, but why are we just handing out extra money late in the year?
What's the movie about Wag the Dog, it's called,
yeah.
Right? I heard Mort say that this morning, and I think it's very appropriate. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
They want to get that story out of there as fast. And it's just like shut up money.
Look, and Kyle Shanahan kind of admitted it. Shanahan lied. He should have just said he wasn't playing well at the time. We thought,
Well, Shanahan admitted it. Mike. He said, I bungled that.
Yeah.
Stumbled.
I handled that clumsily.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he admitted that the truth isn't clumsy.
But that's
lying is clumsy.
See, that's more of Shanahan than people know.
He stinks.
Yeah.
He's so overrated.
Yeah.
He does. He every time he picks his quarterback, he picks the wrong one. He didn't pick Elway. He got Elway.
Yeah.
Jake Plummer was going to be the savior. Perfect for his offense, the bootlegs, the things they'll be able to do together. Then he ran him out of town. Jay Cutler's perfect for his offense, the bootlegs, the athleticism, the arm. Ran him out of town. I mean, well
he didn't run him out of town, but he didn't do anything.
Right.
Now he picks McNabb. Okay, he's my guy. I'm going to go get McNabb.
Well, then I actually think I don't think that Jake Plummer's a great quarterback, but I actually think that was the right pick for what he wanted. I think he was good in that system, and I thought he played well for them, but yet he decided he's not good enough. I got to change. I don't think he's a great player, Andy. Don't misread that. I'm not saying that he's an elite quarterback, but I think for the way that he wanted him to play, doing the things you just talked about, I think he was effective. They haven't won as much as without him as they did with him. I'll tell you that.
Sam in Chicago says, here we are, 7-2. Do we have to wait until after the Colts game to really start getting excited about this team? From Belichick spending more time with the defense, second-year rookies coming into their own, and an amazing draft class that's already producing, say it three times, Andy, this is turning into an exciting year.
What do I have to say three times?
I don't know.
Gronkowski.
Maybe. Why is
this a good team effort today? Some of us don't have anything. I didn't have any idea what another one was talking about.
Why is it that one week Peyton Hillis can run through the Pats D and the next week the NFL Network describes the same group of guys as putting on a clinic for all to see in Pittsburgh? And thanks for the blog, Fred. Always great. By the way, best line in the blog from one of the readers. I didn't publish it, but somebody wrote in, hey, where's Eric's blog post where he tells us how he didn't get laid this weekend?
I laughed out loud. Can I paint a picture, Fred?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I paint a picture? Yeah. This is in the middle of the press
Probably
box.
Probably better than Eric can.
Late in the game, in the press box, all of a sudden, Fred lets out a loud cackle. Like, you know, I mean, really loud and, you know, over the top. And I'm about four or five seats down to Fred's right. And I turn and I go, what's up, Fred? And he goes, no, just something on the blog. I go, what? And he goes, no, I'll tell you later.
I couldn't say
like, he
it.
Couldn't say that. I mean, Eric is also, by the way, one seat to my right. But
you
just
know
to squash the
water. It's going to have something to do with a carnival barker.
You couldn't say it because Eric might hear, but you just said it to, you know, 100,000 people who are listening.
Well, how many times have
right
we said
there.
It? I can't say it off the air. I have to say
Eric,
it off the
telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
Everybody who listens on this show is family.
Right. I
mean, we have no secrets.
I'm
on
with
this
Fred
show.
On this. It's different to
box,
other people.
You know.
No, the family's growing, and I mean, early on, yes, we knew everybody. It was like.
How many times do I tell you how much more it hurts when you call me fat, bald, and old, like in the locker room with
right.
all the other people around?
Eric
well,
it does hurt when I get somebody
Eric
to laugh.
Is the show's
yes,
40-year-old virgin. That's his role. You know?
That's his role in life.
Well
yeah.
It's my
He's
role
a
in life that I'm
actor.
Fat, bald,
right.
and old.
Right.
I think we just got an idea for one of the new opens.
Uh-oh.
Do like an Eric 40-year-old virgin.
Oh,
open.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Why haven't you thought of that already?
Bags of sand.
You know,
I've only been here like 3 months, Fred.
And plus, you've been working around
but
the clock.
But you've worked overtime every week, so it's really like 6 months.
B-Play just died.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
The end of that email was interesting, too. You know, I don't think you have to wait. It was Sam, right? I don't think you have to wait till after the Indy game to get excited. I mean,
I'm excited.
You
right
should
now.
Be excited. You should have been excited.
As I wrote, in, we now know what this team
yeah,
is
yeah. which was your worst edit yeah. letter ever.
Well, I was half asleep.
Why didn't we know last week what this team was capable of?
I have another picture to paint. On the plane ride home, I'm finishing up my stuff. I put my computer away. I look over at Fred. He's asleep. Okay, no big deal. I mean,
I had
it's
my
late.
Eyes closed.
Listen, it was late. All right, it was very late. It was like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Fred's asleep. Now, the only thing that makes this funny is that his laptop is open in front of him, and he's in the middle of writing the edit letter. So I look at him, I said, can't wait to read that one.
But you, in your edit letter,
yeah.
which hits newsstands now, everybody
yeah.
go out and get one,
yeah.
it says, now we can say what the Patriots right. are.
And well, I don't understand why.
I think that after the Cleveland game and some other good games, we were wondering, who are these guys? I think going into Pittsburgh on the road said a what's going to say a lot about
huge,
this team.
Huge win.
But
I just don't understand why going into Cleveland and crap in the bed didn't
because
tell you
every team
not
will crap the bed once a year.
So
exactly.
you're not waiting to
exactly.
evaluate the schedule or the team till after the season.
No,
you're evaluating
I think,
it
even
right
Bill
now,
Belichick says it takes 6-7 games to really know your team.
So nine.
In this case, it took 9 for me.
I would,
what about
no,
the eighth
I,
one that
I don't
they
think
sucked?
That
that's so absurd.
No, I
do.
I just think it's absurd. I just think it's funny that you you dismiss the bad stuff and you focus
on
the good stuff.
That's why I had to wait.
Why was
I wasn't
until they had a good game against a good team,
I wasn't
Paul.
Dismissing
so now
it.
Let me ask you a question. I don't think this is going to happen. We're going to talk about the Colts all
we
week.
We don't really know who the Browns are. We know who the Steelers are.
But I'm going to ask you if
we don't really know who the Patriots are.
If they come in this
we do
week,
now.
If they come out this week and it's a return to the Browns game. And the Colts come in here and throttle you at home. Do you now write a letter and say, now we know that last week was a fluke?
No, but my point was...
Exactly, that's all I'm saying.
He's honest, honest.
My point,
I agree with him, he's right.
My point was, we know what they're capable of. That may not come out again
I know, but
for the
you
rest
know,
of the season.
But you know what they're capable of on both ends of the spectrum
no,
is
I
my
did
point.
Not know they were capable of manhandling the Steelers.
And
the
I didn't
they
know
did.
They were capable of
I
getting manhandled by a team like Cleveland until the week
but
before.
But every team can do that. That's just not
exactly.
Playing. When you lay down, you're
so
going to get
know
manhandled
nothing.
In the NFL.
Exactly.
But
so I know nothing about the Patriots. That's my
no,
point.
But no,
I don't know which team is going to show up.
That unless you have it in you, you're not going to manhandle, and the Steelers are one of them.
If the team that played Sunday shows up consistently, I'm on board with your pom-poms, and let's go to Dallas.
So it's
but
not
they haven't
like
showed
that.
Up. They haven't shown up consistently. That's why I'm disputing what you wrote in your Reddit
if
letter.
If they show up like that every week, Paul, they'd be undefeated. That's not going to happen. I don't expect that to happen, but I know they've got it in them. That's my
Paul,
only
see,
point. That's
everybody has it in them. It's a matter of can they do
know.
It consistently.
I don't think that the Buffalo Bills
I mean, the Denver Broncos yesterday, okay? The Denver Broncos yesterday were as good a team as any team in football. But can they do it consistently? Obviously not, since they've won, what, four of their last 20
yeah,
games?
Yeah, but I don't put the Chiefs up there with the Steelers. I'm sorry.
But the Chiefs didn't play any worse than the Steelers played on Sunday.
But you're missing my point, and there's no sense.
Because you're only looking at it from one side.
I don't mean to be a wet blanket.
Yeah. Now, I'm not being a wet blanket. I'm as excited about that win as you
can get. What
I'm going
to say is wet blanket-like. Any concern that you're emphasizing the physical nature, the winning the physical battle, which a lot of times equates to the line of scrimmage, and their offensive and defensive lines were not who they...
No.
Okay.
That's not why... I think being out-physicaling the Steelers was a big part of it. The main thing that I liked was the biggest concern going into this game for the Patriots was their offense. They just don't look like they're getting it in sync. And I think now we see what they can do post-Randy Moss.
Yeah,
that's what we expected.
But they did it once. That's my point.
But
against
they
a bad second.
Do it. It's
okay.
Not out.
Okay, so if they don't do it for the next seven weeks.
Until you do it, you don't know, but they did it.
Okay.
So now you know they can do it.
I'm not trying to
it.
Listen.
I'm not saying they're going to do it every week, but they can. They have the potential to
And
do
I'm
it.
Not trying to dampen anyone's enthusiasm, just like Andy, because they were as complete as they've been in a long time. But Andy's right. They had, what, three starters out on the offensive line, two starters out on the defensive line, and their best defensive player added to the injury list on Saturday. There might be a reason why you dominated the line of scrimmage.
I know. And it's a good thing the Patriots haven't had any injuries this year.
I didn't say that. Fred.
Let's see.
The Patriots were missing, the Patriots were missing an offensive lineman on Sunday. That's why I started the whole thing by saying don't. This does not diminish anything that happened on Sunday.
508-543.
You only listen to what you want to listen to.
Yep.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Matt from Oregon's on the line. Hey, Matt, how's the elk hunting?
It was unsuccessful this year, unfortunately.
Oh, really? You didn't get any cows?
Well, kudos to the elk. They outsmarted
didn't
you.
Didn't see a thing.
Wow. Now, is that the... Is that the economy? No, I'm only kidding. Is that no?
What it was I didn't hunt Colorado this year. I hunted Oregon this year, and not that there aren't plenty of elk in Oregon, but it's a little harder to come by them out here. Than
smarter
it is in
elk in Oregon, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little sneakier. I guess.
They know the good hiding spots.
Still say, give the elk a gun, and then let's make it a fair fight.
The elk are of a smarter ilk.
Right. Well done. Well done.
That was
good,
pretty
Fred. Good.
That was very good.
So what's up, Matt?
Hey, listen, I just wanted to say, you know, everybody's been kind of talking about, you know, what is this team, you know, and you guys were just having that whole argument, and it's perfect. You know, they're capable of doing one thing, and they're capable of doing another thing, and I mean, the way I think you got to look at it is, this is experience. You know, this is an inexperienced team, and this is how they're getting experience. This is all stuff that's going in the bank now. You know,
I agree.
They've had a huge loss. And they know what that feels like, and they know how to come back from it, and that's in the bank, you know. And that's how the whole thing comes together so that, you know, this year and next year and years down the line, that's all going to add up, I think. And, you know, it makes me excited because I think, you know, I think we see that they can do good things this year, and I think it can become good things next year and the following year. And, you know, as a fan, I'm pumped.
And that's the best part about it to me is you see guys on the field gaining experience who you can envision being the core of this team.
That's right.
Cunningham,
yeah,
Spikes, Mayo, McCourty, Arrington, Chung. That could be the core of your defense
maybe
offensively.
Maybe Bill the GM isn't so bad after all.
He went through a down stretch.
Sure.
He's having to do it quickly with a lot of guys.
He had to get rid of some dead weight, and then he ran
it
up again.
No, no, no. But had those drafts.
I know you have that little grin on your face, but what dead weight did he bring in that wasn't he wasn't responsible for?
No, I'm not talking about
players.
He had
to get rid of the dead weight.
I'm talking about
that
upper
he brought
management.
Here.
I'm talking, not talking about players.
Oh, Pioli?
You're talking about Pioli? I like that because I share your, you know, disdain for the man, but. You know, they did have three straight years of duds, and
I know.
As time goes by, 09 looks worse and worse. You know, the 12 guys they brought in 09, fewer and fewer of them are left now.
Butler's in after Ingram's cut.
You can't really argue against that. I mean, you know, they definitely.
Well, but Paul,
you know.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to.
Why don't you hear what Matt's saying since he's talking?
No.
Go ahead,
Matt. This is great. I feel like I'm part of the show.
You
Everybody
really were. Fred just
me.
Cut Perfect. You off mid-sentence and totally disregarded what you were saying. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I have two quick questions, and I'll let you guys go.
Yep.
Do we know if Jimmy Sanders got fined for the hit?
Not yet.
But I expect
early.
That he will.
I would expect a FedEx
Sometimes
will be sitting
they,
on his
they
chair.
They come as late as Thursday, right?
Last week, Friday was
Myron
the
Pryor
big
got it on Friday after the Minnesota game.
Last week, there was like six fines came out on Friday from the league.
Not here.
The league. So
we didn't hit anybody hard enough in Cleveland to get fined.
It's true. Usually, though, we see him Wednesday or Thursday just sitting on there. We get in the locker room, and it's like, that's mail time.
I think it was Wednesday when I talked to Chung about it, and I asked if he got a bad boy letter, and he started laughing.
Well, if I recall, in the past, it was always Wednesday. Like, it was clockwork. It would be on your chair on Wednesday.
Yeah.
This year, I don't know if it's because of the increased emphasis, scrutiny, if
For
they're
the
doing
scrutiny,
more
I think.
Work there to make sure they get all the fines right and everybody's fined who should. It seems like it's the whole week you could get it. Or maybe FedEx is slipping. I don't know.
But I would expect it, Matt.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Andy thought it was squeaky clean.
Face mask. He did not hit him with the helmet. Used his face mask. It was incidental. No intent to injure.
Well, I don't think there was any intent to injure. It wasn't like a... You know, I mean, helmets are going to make contact with
That's
you,
right.
You know? And I
agree.
I'm a
that's just,
of the rule.
That's,
I think,
that's what
know,
the league is doing,
to,
though.
Yeah.
I agree with Andy. I don't think there was any intent. I don't think he was trying to hurt anyone.
No fine.
Well, there's a huge difference between... that hit and the Merriweather hit.
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah. This won't be a $50,000 fine. This will be like one of those $7,500 jobs.
Yeah.
there's a big difference.
Well, not for Jimmy, because let's be honest, he's making more than he should anyway.
My other question was, do we know Chung's injury status at all?
Paul Perillo of Patriots Football Weekly is reporting that it was merely cramps.
Just what he said.
Okay.
He said he was fine.
Quoting a league source,
he
cramps.
He said, I'm fine, just cramping up a little bit, I'm fine. That's all. He kept saying, I'm fine, I'm
sure
fine, I'm fine.
He wasn't saying you were cramping.
They didn't really cover it much on TV, so it was kind of
well,
hard to tell what was going
on. It's hard, too. You mean like during the game? They're not getting any. I mean, look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh said that Hines Ward had a neck injury. And clearly we know that he was dealing with something head-related.
Shouldn't you finish that lie, though? I mean, I don't understand why Tomlin, the first thing he says in the post-game press conference is, Hines got a concussion. I mean, aren't you opening yourself up to fine investigation from the league?
I wonder who the guy is that makes the call and what they report.
I wonder how I can get a piece of that. Sorry, Matt. There's a cheerleader video behind Paul on the monitor. But, yes, we don't think Chung, it's a major injury. What are they doing? NFL Network is showing porn right now.
I think they're onto something. When there's not a game on, that's all they should be showing.
And Tom Curran talking about it.
How did they get him on an angle where it looks like he has hair?
How did they get him on an angle where it looks like he has massive hair? All right, Matt. Sorry, we've been distracted. We've
no
lost
worries.
Interest
Thanks,
in you.
Guys.
Spiraling out of control now.
All right, that's Matt from Oregon, one of the all-time outdoorsmen. Of Patriots Nation.
He's a real man.
Well, we used to think that, but now he swung and missed on his elk trip.
MMA and hunting. He's all.
Oh, I forgot to tell him. Remember, he was rooting for Lesnar to get knocked out last time he called, and Lesnar got knocked the bleep out.
Let's see.
Speaking of knock the bleep out, Pacquiao really put it to that guy, huh?
Yeah, I didn't actually see it, but I had heard where he was actually asking the referee
to
stop
the
fight
in the 11th
round. Because he didn't
want
to hurt him.
Yeah. I like him.
Brett Pacquiao. From Brockton says, I've listened to every show since 2007 in season and off season. Logan was so fired up and the O-line had probably their best game of the year. I think Logan just gives them that I'm going to kick your ass type of edge.
He really does.
If he doesn't re-sign with the Patriots, I'm afraid he will sign with Fat Boy and the Jets. I think that the Patriots and the Jets are so evenly matched that the Patriots can't afford to risk giving a player like Logan to the Jets. Do you think Logan and the Crafts can get over that whole get on your knees in front of the world and kiss Robert's backside thing? Or do you think that the relationship is so damaged that they would risk Logan going to gangrene? So, what do you think?
I wouldn't dismiss it as out of hand that he re-signs, but it's going to cost money. I don't think that Logan's going to just sit back and say, no, you know what, I'll take 20 million less than you were, you know, than I originally wanted. I think he still wants what he wants, but he likes being a Patriot. And you listen to those comments coming from the other offensive players. There's a lot of respect for Logan Mankins in that locker room. I don't think it's going to have anything to do with the bad, you know, the bad blood, the whole apology nonsense, and whether or not that was a big part of this. I think it's going to be up to whether or not the Patriots want to pony up some money and whether or not Mankins wants to accept it, because I don't think he'll get the most. I don't, you know, Jari Evans, whatever that contract is, I don't think they'll match that contract and give it to Mankins. So Mankins is going to have to take a little less.
Okay, is there any chance, because it seemed like the hang-up was this year and the RFA tender, and is it a six-year deal, is it a five-year deal, and it starts after this year, all that crap. Is there a chance that somehow just kind of dissipates when he's playing out this year on the tender?
He's playing it. He's an unrestricted free agent now. Do you buy time and franchise him like you did with Vince?
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
But I mean, if you did it like...
He will sit out.
But no.
You mean for like a week?
Yes. Do it like you did with Vince.
Oh, I see.
I said.
No, but I'm saying, is there some way that this just makes everybody feel like you remove that 3 point whatever million from it, and now it's a 5 year, this million?
Yeah, you don't have any of those loopholes that the Patriots seem to always look to exploit.
I think he's going to resign.
I think there's a chance because talking to him the last couple of weeks, he loves it here. He loves being a Patriot. He loves playing with these guys.
Well,
I think he loves Light. He loves Cope, and he loves Brady. He loves being on this offense.
I don't think you can afford to lose him personally.
Well, we talked about that a little bit off air, and you made a good point, Andy. You know, when we were talking about, how, you know, I mentioned the edge that he brings and how happy he was after the game. That's the kind of game that he – backyard brawls is where Logan Mankins is at his best.
Punch a guy
and
in
you
the
had
nuts.
Mentioned, you know, I don't know if you can afford to lose that edge.
Right.
You know, and
especially
you might be right.
If you're going to be losing Light, in all likelihood, you
Neal.
Know, Copen and Neal could, you know, they're up there.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure how well Copen's playing.
Neal is in you know, a year-by-year basis at this point.
Right.
You never know when it's going to be over for
so
him.
So are you just going to turn your, you know, Copen three-fifths of your line
gone.
Over?
You know, we all thought that there was a good chance that Light was gone this year.
Oh, now, he's long gone.
He's going to be gone. So you probably move Vollmer over to the left side. So you need a new right tackle. And
a new left guard, right guard, and a center?
Right. And you might, in that case, you'd probably keep Copen. But
although,
you never know.
We all think Light's gone. But if he's willing to, you know, give the hometown discount, why would you get rid of him at this point? I mean, he's having a decent year.
But don't you think he'll get something? If he hits the open market, I think he's a guy that he won't get $50 million.
Oh, God, no.
But I could see him getting an $8 million signing bonus on a three-year deal or something like that.
I mean,
he's an all-pro left tackle.
I mean, that's what you have an agent for, is to kind of figure that out. So by the end of the season, they should know. You know, his agent should be able to tell him, yeah, hit the market or you're better off staying.
I don't think
here.
He's going to have to sign for a one-year deal. I think he's a guy that'll get a three-year deal with a bonus to go start for somebody because, A, he's an all-pro left tackle, whether we like it or not, and, B, I don't think he's been terrible. I think he's been virtually the same Matt Light he's been most of his career.
I think he's been pretty good this season, actually.
So you don't think there are teams that would take...
I think he might be playing better than the right tackle this season.
I would say from day one in camp. Vollmer has struggled. But I just think there are bad, you know, Jonathan Scott is a guy that we've seen start games for two teams over the last 2 years. He stinks.
Really?
What?
Who is he? I know he played for
Steeler,
Pittsburgh, but
and
who
he
else?
He played in Buffalo. He started for the Bills last year. Their offensive line coach went from Buffalo to Pittsburgh and brought him with him.
He stinks.
I just think
he's the guy that Telly Bannikane got all the
there's
sacks.
There's some bad left tackles
well,
out there
that.
Last
I know
year.
That Bannikane finally had a sack this week. But
no, he had him against him last year.
Buffalo.
I didn't know that he played for Buffalo.
Yeah, no, he had the three sack game. It was three, right? Three and a half, three? In
something
Buffalo
like
last year.
He got half of his sacks last year he got against Buffalo.
Yeah, I didn't.
But I don't think
connection.
The first game was against him. I think only the second game was
first
the game
was
where
Demetrius
they signed.
Bell, wasn't it?
What's the badass guy who went from the Rams?
Incognito?
Incognito.
Yeah.
And they signed him. Yeah. Scott went into the lineup, and they had like one more change, and the Patriots absolutely annihilated that line with that roaming cow's front.
Right. Fred from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Mooing cow, whatever.
He says, hello, boys. Well, yet another great win for this team this year. One thing I will never understand is this doom and gloom attitude that we always seem to have. Why is it that a brain fart of a loss to a team like Cleveland is a sign of the apocalypse, and we just disregard the big wins this team has had all year? Bengals, Dolphins, Chargers, Vikings, Ravens, and now Steelers. It is almost as if it would seem impolite to brag and talk up your team. This team is going to lose more games this year. When they do it, it will not be the end of the world. Every team but the 72 Finns lose games. A win is a win. There's no room in the standings to put down how you won or lost your games. I don't care how lucky or unlucky the teams are on any given Sunday. Not one sober person would have said that the Pats would be 7-2 when the season started. This is a year that is going beyond expectations. I say to all Patriots fans out there, hang your banners in the window, fly your flags from your car, and spin your fuzzy dice. Wear your Pats clothing and let everyone know that your team is the Patriots, and there isn't, and theirs isn't, and their life must suck. The rest of the football world already hates the Patriots and their fans, so throw it back in their face, just like Brady did with that TD spike. Let the players eat the humble pie while we eat the feast of the victorious, and the rest of the football world can eat it.
He's better at your job than you are, Fred.
He's a good one.
That was what you used to do.
The first half of that email, I really, really agree with. Don't you think we overreacted? And I'll say us, too. We overreacted on Cleveland, and we tend to look at the losses as more definitively than we do the wins.
Sure. I was just mad because they made me look bad.
No, I don't mean necessarily. I'm talking about big picture stuff, Fred. I mean, at the time, you
get
pissed.
That's a big picture.
Yeah, widescreen.
You are a big picture. There's no question about it. I mean, I think we take too much out of a loss.
Everybody does. The coaches do.
I said we all. I mean, the collective we, all of us. I don't just mean the three of us. I mean, that's what we do in Boston especially, and I'm sure they do it everywhere. But I agree with that portion of the email. Now, the last part, I disagree a little bit. If you didn't, the whole a win is a win thing, if you didn't think there was a difference between the win Sunday and the win in San Diego.
Right.
You weren't paying attention.
Right.
Because if you don't come away happier after Sunday than you did in that San Diego game,
right.
I don't know. I mean, I understand the goal is to win games, and that's all you know, bottom line. But staying again with the big picture, they did on Sunday elicits you being able to write in your edit letter, Fred.
Right.
Now we know what they're capable of.
A win like the one in San Diego kind of.
You're saying, hey, if the other team could turn it over four times, might be able to hold on and win by a missed field goal.
It poses as many questions as it answers.
Exactly. Right. And that was a lot of their win. I mean, first of all, Cincinnati's 2-7 now, so I don't count that as a big win.
Right.
You know, if they were 2-0 at the time and you beat them, then at least you could say you started them on their bad slide. But it was the first game of the year, and they stink.
Yep.
Plus, we take a bigger picture perspective to it.
Hence making my argument that you guys make fun of me about. Yes, go.
No, I still think San Diego was a big
win.
I
knew I couldn't go. He can't let anything float, so I knew he was going to have to respond to that.
I've been getting better on the emailers, though.
We take a bigger picture perspective to it. We compare it, fair or not, to other Patriots teams and championship caliber. That's the issue. Could a team that's going to compete for a title lay the egg that it laid in Cleveland? Or are those two mutually exclusive? Can you not be that good where you're going to play in February and let that happen? I think that's part of why really ugly losses, you look at them and say, a team that's going to win a title doesn't lose like that.
No.
I don't care when,
that's
how,
true.
Why. And I think that's part. Whereas the victories, you win ugly, whatever, if you expect them to be at a certain level, you take those in stride because you're expecting them to win 10, 11 games, compete for a division, compete for a playoff seeding, all that.
Yep. Holy crap. On Steve's conspiracy theory.
That was Collinsworth.
On Steve's conspiracy theory, Brett from Leominster says, I have a conspiracy. Steve from Albany is an idiot. Too bad he can't disprove it.
See, Everett's Dan Ross right there?
I love that. Emailer crime.
Dead. Is he?
Yeah.
What did he die from?
Had a heart attack while he was jogging.
That's why Paul doesn't jog.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge from North Carolina is on. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Hey.
Doing? Hey, good win Sunday. That's
not,
the most physical
I've
seen them play. Yeah. That's the most physical I've seen their defense play.
Yep.
And question. I heard somebody talking about Matt Light. Is his contract up this year, too?
Yes.
This year?
Yes.
And you're right. Somebody would sign him.
Yeah. He has a decent resume. He's still miraculously healthy, I mean, in terms of playing, taking the field.
Yeah, I mean, he has missed some time in years past.
Yeah.
You know, he missed some time last year. As a matter of fact, he missed some games, but he has been pretty durable.
I just think he's the type of guy that some team will say, you know what, we got a hole at left tackle. He's not the answer. He's not Jake Long for the next 12 years, but he can get us through two or three and do a decent job.
I also I do agree with Fred, though. He is a guy like Bruschi that I think really enjoys it here, mm-hmm. has become part of, I'm not saying, listen, Andy, that doesn't mean he's going to turn down.
He's got the Life Foundation. He's got
that doesn't mean he's going to turn down $10 million to go somewhere else. I'm saying if it's in a ballpark, I think he might stay because he likes it here.
I think he's bristling.
I'm not sure we want him back. I think that we might have let him go last year if the whole situation with Kazier was different, you know, and some of that other stuff in Mankins. I think that the fact that they had to have those guys moving around, I think they were looking to pair him from the payroll last year. So I'm not sure we're going to give him much money to come back, but I agree with Fred. I think he's the kind of guy that might be interested in a hometown discount.
So what are your predictions for Sunday's game against the Colts?
Oh, even before the Steelers game, without even knowing how that was going to go, I am falling into the trap that the Patriots are going to beat the Colts, no doubt. No doubt.
Why is that a trap?
Well, I think it's a trap in that I think it's in the books. But the Colts can come out and play a good game. And as we've seen this week, nobody really knows what the hell's going to happen. Yeah. But I'm falling into the trap where I definitely think the Patriots should win this game.
I'm sticking with the Patriots right now, but this is one of those I need to wait as long as I can and get as much info as I can, because the team that the Colts put on the field last week, I think, would have 0% chance of winning a game here in Foxborough. I mean, you know, if they're going to have the amount of talent on their inactive list that they had last week, I don't give them a prayer.
Yeah, but they've had problems all year with
last week it pretty much had came to a boiling point.
And you know the Patriots haven't had injuries.
No, I know.
Right. Yeah, okay. Because
having Rich Hornberger and Taylor Price as your inactives as opposed to Joseph Addai and Austin Collins.
Kevin Falk on IR means nothing. Okay. And
Ty Warren.
Okay. Lee Bodden. That means nothing.
I have to actually feed him his information.
It's unbelievable. He's unbelievable.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Eldridge.
I'm not wearing my Patriots stuff always.
Got it. That's right, Eldridge.
Unlike Fred, you never wavered in your support
of
this team.
Oh, God. You guys are unbelievable. Lund from South Dakota writes in.
Lund?
Not sure what
L-U-N?
L-U-N, yes.
I'm going Loon.
Is that a man or a woman?
That doesn't really matter.
Yes, to me it does, actually.
If she was a woman,
I could always eat your salad.
I was actually thinking that. Hey, Lund. Send photos.
Hey, hun.
Not sure what you have talked about, but the one thing that really caught my eye was when they made the comment about having the young kids watch Brady and his mechanics. Brady spoke about keeping his left elbow tucked up against his body when throwing and practicing with a pillow tucked under his elbow when he was on Patriots Monday a while back. I don't know much about mechanics, but when they slowed it down, he just looked so smooth. What is the reason for him keeping his elbow tucked against him?
To keep everything tight.
Yeah, he said, you know, he was looking at some of the older clips of himself and noticed that he could really cut down on the extraneous movements there. So
he is generally considered to have the best mechanics, maybe in the history of the game.
Is that right?
Yes.
Really?
I've heard a number of people talk about just he has it, whether it's natural or whether Tom Martinez, the guru, deserves some of the credit for working with him ninth grade. I mean, it's coaches. It's players, other quarterbacks. I've read a number of quotes and people commenting on his mechanics are what, if you could draw it up, you would draw up how Tom Brady throws.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's exactly, when you think of how you throw a football, I think there's a picture of how Brady throws it. I think it could be any kind of how-to manual. And the other thing that I thought was interesting, I don't know, Andy, if you saw this.
Is that just the fact that he has, you know, these perfect mechanics, is that an indication that he had to work harder than somebody like a Michael Vick who got by on such natural ability for so long?
How do we know his mechanics aren't natural? He might have been throwing basically like that since he was three.
It might be an incredible.
I'm talking about Brady.
Oh, I don't know.
He has a gift.
It might be an incredible
God
gift.
I asked a question.
I don't know.
You'd have to ask Tom.
You'd have to Martinez or Brady?
Both.
That guy could answer it. He could tell you, have I changed
He was a mess. When I got him when he was a sophomore in high school, his elbow was out here, his shoulder flew open, and I had to really break it down.
Or he might say, you know what, we just kind of tweaked. He's always been, that's how he threw from day one.
You know, like Tom Seaver, for example, is kind of like
I
that.
I thought you were going to say Tom Senior.
No, Tom Seaver is considered that from baseball windups. Nolan Ryan.
Not Tim Lincecum?
Yes. Completely God-given.
I remember Tom Seaver.
Picture perfect mechanics.
69 Mets. Who was the lefty in that?
I love when you hit on a team that he used to root
Jerry
for.
Jerry Kuzman.
Good, Paul.
Anyway. You hit on a team that he rooted for a short stint.
Which is remarkable because there's so many
to pick from. Starting lineup.
Because you were a loser.
Anyway.
You were a fan whore.
You are.
I lived in New Jersey.
You
at
are
the time.
A whore.
You've moved around more than Jenna Jameson.
Did you catch the...
Is she known for moving around? Or getting
you know what
around?
I mean.
Yeah. Are you done?
Yeah.
She's known for being pretty hot.
Can I bring it back to football
and liking
now?
Liking to take it.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. Go back Paul. To football, Paul.
You had mentioned how many people had talked about Tom's mechanics being
yes.
the best. Did you catch Joe Theismann's comments on throwing the actual throwing of the football? About a week and a half ago, I saw somewhere, and he said,
I think I did.
Tom Brady throws the tightest spiral in the league. And that's why he thinks that that's one reason why he's been so
it's
good
radio,
in,
Fred.
In
Say
bad
no.
weather, is because he throws a tight spiral that doesn't get affected as much by the wind. And I'll absolutely agree with it in terms of you look at like Peyton Manning. Manning throws a lot of passes that
he
get
does,
away
yeah.
from him.
He does
wobblers.
A lot of wobblers.
It's almost like, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm wondering if he has a smaller hand because it's almost like the ball gets away from him sometimes.
Yeah, but
now he's very accurate, even when the
he
ball
holds it more in the middle of the ball.
He absolutely does. You can tell, but watching, but
I don't know why.
His accuracy doesn't suffer from it, but he doesn't throw as good looking a pass as Brady does. In
I
my
think
opinion.
Michael Vick throws one of the
Michael Vick
spirals
throws
the
tight spiral,
and Rivers does too. You know. Rivers has a weird motion.
I think more
but the
Vic
ball
than,
is a tight spiral.
I've always thought Vic, the throw itself, not the timing and all, but his pure throw when the ball leaves his hand is as pretty
oh, yeah.
as anyone.
It's a good looking
and
ball
last,
downfield.
I mean, he's got an absolute rifle of an arm.
Oh.
Somebody brought this up on the radio, and I agreed. Last night when he threw, which I don't think it was the first bomb. I think it was another one later. But they did the replay, and they're breaking it down. And I think they
oh, Paul spilled his soda
all over himself.
Not on myself. It's on the desk.
On your desk. And I think they were assumed because they were talking about how, you know, look how he plants here.
good, Kevin.
Pivots on his back foot or does. And then they show it. And he really didn't. He was kind
of
hopping.
Oh, they were talking
and
about that.
It.
They talked about that on the radio
yeah,
this morning.
And I couldn't agree anymore.
It was like they were deciding beforehand. Well, he just threw the ball 65
he threw a ball,
yards,
so it must
he
have
must have really gotten his legs into it.
And he just kind of flicked it. He has a ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh,
because yeah. I don't think Brady throws the ball all that hard. I think it's hard enough. It's above average to me, but not
he doesn't
elite.
He doesn't have the juice of some other guys.
So I find it funny that, you know, he's got perfect mechanics. But it doesn't lead to the perfect throw, because you would think the perfect throw is accurate and fast.
Yeah, it seems that from just his
I had pretty
arm,
good mechanics now.
Vic can create that
throw it all that hard.
Yeah,
that,
and I find that very fascinating, how two guys can move their arm essentially the same way. One throws at 90 miles an hour, the other throws at 60.
See, well, but I do think a lot of that is just a gift.
I do, too.
Of course it is.
It's timing.
Gift.
Because it's so much of it is the body, the torso, the hips, the whole thing. It's not just an arm.
It's like
well, it looks
like some
flip.
Of the guys who are like 5'8", 170 pounds that hit a golf ball 310
that's,
yards.
That's a right. good correlation.
Let's see. Anthony writes in, a funny line from Al Michaels occurred with just under 5 minutes to go in the first half Sunday night. Woodhead caught a pass on 1st and 10 right after the Steelers' field goal, and he took it about 9.5 yards right at the sticks. Michael said after the play, Woodhead tries to burrow his way for a first down, but he's a little short.
I don't think he meant it as a joke. I think he was
although he says, but he's a little butt short. I'm sure Al didn't say this with any intent on being funny, but the delivery and how he paused before the short line was classic. But he's a little butt short.
I thought what was funny was Chris Collinsworth telling a story. He asked something. And Belichick responded with, what are you, bleeping stupid? Was his first response.
The Randy Moss thing?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, they asked if they, I think he said something like, if you ask Brady.
No, that's a different one.
Okay.
Because it actually made me question that quote. If you ask Brady, there's no difference. If you ask Belichick, no difference.
No difference.
Dick LeBeau, if you,
what are you, stupid?
Stupid? There's a huge difference between the offense. But he told a different story. He asked Bill about something very specific, and Bill said, what are you bleeping stupid? And I'm just thinking, that's not very nice. I mean, does he really have Phil Sims, I have no problem with him saying, what are you bleeping stupid? You know, you spend a lot of time with him, you have a great relationship. Does he have that great relationship with Collinsworth where...
I don't know.
I mean,
maybe.
That'd be like if someone didn't know you, Paul, and called you fat, bald, and old. I can do it. I have a relationship with you.
It still hurts.
David writes in, why do you think Hernandez was basically invisible during the game, as well as Crable getting a half sack and actually being seen on the field? Do you think Crable and Cunningham had similar performances, or what's your thought on the two players' gameplay? Well, the first one, Hernandez.
Andy Hart?
He wasn't in as much, but I think it was a game plan thing, right?
Well, I think it had more to do with the more versatile players in terms of blocking and running.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing everything. I don't think blocking, meeting a real stout defense is Hernandez's strength. Yeah. And I just don't think he fit as much. That's what I'm hoping, because, you know, I don't know that there's any other reason you'd know that he wasn't
you
an
would
active
think
part.
This week, and I'm hoping because it's kind of one of the things I talked about on the TV show, but against Indianapolis, smaller, faster, more athletic defense, you would think it's more of a matchup for Hernandez because you want to meet that athleticism and speed. And, you know, you're probably not going to ask him to block Freeney much. You know, you can have the other guys. It's really kind of matching up. You know, you're not dealing with as much the zone blitz thing, so where you need Crumpler and Gronkowski in there constantly the way they were on Sunday. I think that was a really good point, and I didn't even really think of it that way. Now, the fear is, on the other side, is if maybe Hernandez is sort of leveling off a little bit and maybe gotten himself in the doghouse or something that we don't know about. Interesting.
Weird.
Interesting from our boy Strippers, who continues to send us these random stats. Hernandez leading the NFL in drops for tight ends. Mm. Had six going into the game. You can add one for seven because he dropped another pass in that game. But he did not play. At some point in the third quarter, I was near Mike Reese, our trusty comrade from ESPN Boston. He had played six plays in the game, and it was about halfway through the third quarter.
Does that include the one on defense?
No. This is on offense.
Technically.
And what about Crable and Cunningham? Do you think they had similar games? How do you think they played?
Crable, I think, has played a lot in the last three or four
games. He got
near
a quarterback. Can't say that before.
Don't you think? I mean, did you think he played any more the other night than he has been? Because I think
he's been playing a lot.
Yeah, he showed up a little bit more the other night, but so did everybody else in the front seven. I haven't really noticed him much, but I haven't really noticed Cunningham a whole lot either.
I don't think he's been as good as of late.
Cunningham.
Yeah.
I agree.
I was feeling pretty good about him.
I thought
like
he was coming on. That Baltimore game that he was turning the corner and getting around the quarterback a little bit, and he had that nice play where he knocked the ball out of Flacco's hands. But I haven't noticed him much lately. And I don't want to blame him for Cleveland. I thought he was particularly bad in that game and actually got himself on the bench for a while in that game as a result. But everybody was bad in that game.
Steve in Toronto, great shows. You guys unbelievably are getting better. Even on TV, Fred seems more relaxed now. Early shows, I got the feeling he was holding back, maybe worried that his PFW radio persona would get loose and cause havoc.
That would be fun.
I don't really like the TV show anymore. I don't like doing it. Sorry.
So you're not going to do it next year and just have me and Andy do it?
I might not.
That's what the fans are calling for anyway.
I have had people say, you and Paul have that show. It's great, and it's nice of you to let Fred do it with you, too. Some of those people are in the TV industry.
take that whatever way you want.
Some of those people are at Comcast.
I mean, they don't have to ask me to do anymore.
That's fine. Oh, we finally broke
them. I haven't asked to do anything, including that stupid point-counterpoint, which I won, by the way, again, Andy. So
that's not what I heard.
That's what Christian said.
No, I don't care what Christian says. Christian just tells you what he thinks, and whoever agrees with him is the winner.
Then I know how to win
and by the way,
I know what to do.
And by the way, in the best passing performance of the season, instead of forcing it to the tight end time after time after time, Wes Welker had season-high 8 catches, Deion Branch early and often.
Yeah, touchdowns by Gronkowski.
But that's just touchdowns.
Oh, that's just touchdowns.
I didn't say I didn't say, hey,
oh, come on.
Let's not have any tight end score touchdowns. I said spread the ball around and get back to the way you used to do it, and the offense will be more successful. 350 yards through the air, eight different guys caught passes. And by the way, Aaron Hernandez was not one of them. I win.
Yeah. Okay, three things, says Steve. Fred, you're really showing your homerism. I was yelling at the TV and Merriweather. It was not even an inadvertent penalty. It was yet another boneheaded play by Merriweather, something he is becoming consistent with. The Patriots have a bonehead play. Chances are Merriweather did it. I think when his contract is up, it's time for him to quietly move on.
I'm going to defend Fred on this one, just in the regard of it was amazing. First of all, the cackling hens in the press box again. It was amazing.
The guys in front of
every single guy.
I mean, people, I mean, we.
Oh, those Pittsburgh guys were awful.
Unbelievable. They're having a party down in front of us. It's like they're in their living room.
I thought two of them were going to start crying in the middle of the second quarter when it was apparent that they were going to lose. It was unbelievable.
These guys are like, they're just too, this is what I say about, they get too comfortable. You're there working.
Two guys were like holding on like a talk show.
Oh.
It was like PFW in Progress broke out in Pittsburgh.
At full throat.
The only thing it was missing was like the brats or something.
You know, it's not even, they're trying to
sausage.
Be quiet. Full throat.
Now,
full,
I will
full
say.
Throat. What?
Yeah. Are you sure that's not what people say about us when we're up in our loft?
Maybe.
Fred, I mean, Andy, we're not anywhere near that loud.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Because we're up and the ceiling slants down. I still have concerns.
You might be right. I don't know.
And the opposing media is always right in front of us. So I could see guys going back to every place else saying, there were these annoying guys behind us, these four guys. They never shut up the whole game.
First of all, we're interested.
It's like the Muppets,
and
these guys that sit up.
You know, one was clearly rooting against the team. And
Eric's not even here.
I think we should say all of them were rooting against the team, except for one of them.
I do want to defend.
He was just a clown, the other one.
I want to defend Fred, though, because when that play happened, Bilo, Eric, and I are all like, what are you doing? He ran right through them. He didn't even try to make a play on the ball. And then all of a sudden, everybody, one by one, how's he supposed to play defense? How are you supposed to defend that play? What are you going to – I mean, it wasn't just Fred. It was everybody. Everybody. The Globe, the Herald, Comcast – Tom Curran in the back, Ian in the front, Shalice. I mean,
okay. I thought you were going to only name.
No,
Tom.
I'm not making fun of them. That's, I mean, that was their opinion. I'm not making fun of anybody. I didn't actually hear Borges comment on that play, but I started looking at my BlackBerry, and everybody was tweeting, how was that a penalty? What's he supposed to do? Merriweather's targeted now. It bordered on the absurd after a while.
Was that Gasper? Sounds like Gasper.
It may have been.
That's like me tweeting about James Sanders. You got to take it with a grain of salt.
But I'm just trying to point out, Fred wasn't the only one that didn't think that was a penalty.
The other thing, two other things that Steve says, has Eric yet to retract his 8-8 in the end of the dynasty?
No, he's getting praised for being the only guy who didn't give up on him.
Every week on the playbook, listening to him trying to come up with reasons not to be pleased with the Patriots is painful.
Well, I would say 8-8 is out of the question at this point.
Yeah.
And 6 over the final 7?
Yeah, they have Buffalo and Detroit. I don't see them losing both of those games.
I just don't see a team that 25-2 after losses losing 6 games in the next 7. No, you kept your head.
And finally, speaking of last week and this week, now that the games are played and we can properly assess them, I think against the Browns, a young team was believing in its own flattering press clippings and they could not help but look past to the Steelers. With the latest Steeler victory and the wins versus the Finns and Ravens and Vikings, they have shown they can play with anyone. This week will be a great week for a true test versus the Colts. Which team will show up, the team that played in Cleveland or the team that played in Pittsburgh?
That's a big question.
Yep.
That's a big question. I think that's it.
Now,
the other question would be, is if they do show up and play the way they did in Pittsburgh, what's the other team do? Is the other team good enough to beat you anyway?
Right.
Or if you play your game, are you now the winner?
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because clearly, as well as the Patriots played on Sunday, Pittsburgh didn't play well.
Right.
I mean, they dropped a lot of passes. They couldn't protect Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger was erratic early in the game. I thought he got better as the game went on. I thought a lot of that was, and this is one of those times I would agree with Patriots fans, a lot of their yardage, a lot of their statistics were plastic. It was after the game was out of hand. But that's the key. If the other team plays well and you play well, who wins?
Mm-hmm. Chris with a TIAN says, well, I'm as stunned as I was last week. This week blew me away even more. Very impressive on both sides of the ball. We're closing in on Thanksgiving, and now is the time the contenders start to separate from the pack. Huge game this week. Nice to have the Colts at the Razor. Manning is getting it done with practice squanders. Manning is still
squatters.
Getting it done with practice squanders. Squatters.
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 Squatters. Practice blah, 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 blah. Squad.
S-Q-U-A-D-E-R. And this should be a close win at home. Andy, you must be on cloud 9 this week. I mean, Gronk with 3 TDs, Jimmy Sanders with a pick 6,
big hit.
And he knocked Hine Ward out of the game.
Team Andy was team MVP this
I asked
week.
Him if he was channeling his inner Rodney after the game. He started laughing.
He won't think it's funny if there's a
It's true.
FedEx on his seat asking for money.
Right.
We'll keep talking because Fred's answering a text.
No, I just got a text from Pete Shepard.
No, he's not coming.
Not coming?
No, he's coming. He just wanted to give me his new home address. I don't know why he's... texting me.
Probably for his money.
He moved out of that box.
But Pete will be here today. He wasn't here last week. He had...
yeah. Now, some might say he wasn't here last week.
It'll
he's
be,
here
John
this
Alam
week.
On the coincidence? El Duque.
No.
He couldn't do a show. You know, he has to talk positive, and after last week, there was nothing to say. Swish him. Signed
Joe
with the Steelers.
Oh,
not Graham. Okay. Swish him.
Well, I knew it wouldn't be Graham.
I mean, yeah, what was I saying?
You said, would they have signed Graham if the Patriots didn't?
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Patriots could cut him.
But yes, I was quite sure that he wasn't going to get signed off of the Patriots active roster.
Dave,
you don't like it when people do it back to you, do you?
Fred doesn't like it when you interrupt him. Let him read a damn email.
Dave writes in, maybe it's a personality flaw on my part, but there is nothing I like more than to listen to the online sports talk radio of the opposing team after a dominant Patriots win. Yesterday on Pittsburgh sports radio station, the topic was, who do you hate more, Tom Brady and the Patriots or the Ravens? Apparently, after Sunday's victory, the scale has been tipped, and many Steeler fans now hate the Patriots more than the Ravens. One girl called to say she hated Tom Brady. When the host asked why, all she could come up with was because the media sucks up to him too much. She went on to say she thought Ben Roethlisberger was just as good as Brady. The host, to his credit, told her she's crazy.
Ben Roethlisberger isn't as good as Tom Brady.
No.
He's got two rings.
He's not as good as Tom Brady. As I will remain consistent, I don't judge players based on how many teams they're on that win championships. Ben Roethlisberger is not Tom Brady. Please.
Matt from Bandera writes in.
Wasn't that a... Oh, no, that was Pantera.
I saw the way Brady looked last night, and I liked the emotion. He looked great, but not like that, Eric. If you haven't asked already, do you think this brings the Patriots offense new hope for this season? Or do you think Brady just did what he normally does to the Steelers, keep up the great work?
Both. I think it gives you new hope, and I think Brady did what he normally does to Pittsburgh.
And we're reaching that time of the year where no matter who he has, the offense starts to click. Jabari Gaffney, Rishay Caldwell, whatever it is, he's starting to roll late
and,
in the year.
Paul, as you and I both said,
the offense won't be
better with Moss. It'll be fine because we have Tom Brady.
And after the ninth game of the season, you can declare that, because after the eighth game of the season, you couldn't have declared that.
No, but...
it's a work in progress.
You know, the game's not over until the final whistle blows, my friend.
But then why are we declaring after the ninth game that this is what the Patriots
are?
Because
we've seen it. It can happen.
But the game's not over.
It can happen.
There's seven games to go. Why didn't you declare it after the eighth game?
You
because your team sucked at
you
that.
You guys should do every point counterpoint, because neither one of you let the other guy get a word out. And all you do
oh,
is repeat
that's not true.
Over and over.
He talks right over me.
Right.
He's
and that's
even...
what you do to other people.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. Joel in Merrimack says, hi, guys, and hi, empty chair that once held Eric. I can't believe I am about to do this, but for once, I am going to agree with Felger. Pittsburgh is the kind of team that doesn't present a lot of wrinkles. You know what they're going to do, and this plays right into Belichick's hands. Not downplaying the win. It was exceptional. Peyton and the Colts are a different story. He gives you so little to work with, pre-snap-wise, that it is hard to read that offense. This week is probably the hump we need to get over. If they can beat the Colts convincingly, then I am going to start thinking seriously about Dallas. What do you guys think? Keep up the great work. I don't need to win over the Colts to start thinking about Dallas.
Well, obviously, you already declared the Super Bowl favorites
look,
based on one win.
The Patriots are as good as anyone in the AFC. Yes or no?
Yes.
So why not think of Dallas?
Yeah.
Who, the Jets?
They're okay. I said yes. I said yes.
Okay, now you're hesitating.
Can I think about it before I just blurt out an answer?
I mean, who else is there?
I'm sorry.
Ravens?
You know? I mean, the Raiders are winning the AFC West right now.
Let's put it this way.
But I think consistency is the key in the postseason, personally. I don't think you can ride a roller coaster because
but
you lose.
Every team has been riding the same roller coaster.
I think the Ravens have been closer to the most consistent team.
Who has?
Ravens.
Ravens.
They haven't been the best.
Right.
They've had
the
their
team
faults.
The Patriots beat.
I think that, right, yes.
Okay. But I'm talking about, you guys don't, you two, I argued with, no,
I'm with you.
You're guilty
I'm,
too, though, because
no,
this
I'm
morning I argued with you what consistency meant, and you didn't get it upstairs in the point counterpoint.
Oh, no, sorry.
And now he doesn't know what consistency means.
No.
Consistency
but your
means
your argument upstairs
the same.
Was, your argument
close
was flawed.
To the same.
So you lose.
Paul, Fred.
You, wait a minute.
Which,
you think
you stop for a minute.
Stop.
Now, let me ask Fred before
let's
you.
Back to, let's get
no,
back to
gonna,
our argument.
You're going
to
muddy the
you
water.
Think
let
the
me
defense
ask.
Has
stop!
Been more consistent this year
ask,
than the offense.
Wait, one at a time.
Forget about
Ben,
Fred, one at a time.
Which part of this team has been more consistent this year, the offense or the defense?
The defense.
Thank you. No further questions.
You guys are both completely out
of
your mind.
Paul doesn't know what consistency means. Consistency doesn't mean good. Consistency means
other than I'm not talking
bump,
about
other
good.
Other than the bump in Cleveland, they've been progressing. That's
insane. You're telling me
this
in
the,
counterpoint. In the Cincinnati game, when they come out and they play lights out for two quarters and they can't stop anybody for the second
understand.
Two quarters, that's consistent?
But you're comparing them to
they've
the offense.
They've done that almost every game.
Neither side has been consistent.
The Patriots' offense has been consistently
39 points, 20 points, 14 points, 38 points.
Yeah.
What's
Should
consistent?
Can we do that on defense, too?
What?
We can do that on defense, too, if
you
want to.
You can.
But hasn't it been closer
I'm
to the
exact same
performance every week?
I'm not talking about who's played better or worse. I'm talking about consistent.
Me
the
too.
Offense,
me too. But you're not.
But you're not separating the four games they play with Moss to the transit. They completely changed their approach in the middle of the season, and you're thinking that it was just going to be a flat line, the same every game.
Well, that's
no,
part
they
of it.
Played four games, then they lost Moss, and they played four games at a lower level. But it's been consistent.
But even that wasn't consistent.
I think they've been pretty consistent.
You think
with
Sunday
the exception-
night was the same as the week before and the week before that?
No, but with the exception of...
So now you're breaking it down into two-game packages.
No,
can't
I,
count Moss,
no,
that was
I actually
four games.
Think that Fred's point about the defense, I would make the same exact point to my argument about the offense. With the exception of a speed bump in Cleveland, they've moved the ball pretty consistently all year.
See, I think the offense has been utterly inconsistent. Literally.
I mean, know how you can say that the
I
defense
thought
in has
Baltimore,
been more consistent. Even
they
in the,
sucked until they needed to win the game, and then they were okay.
But even within the same game,
the running game
defense
against Minnesota sucked until they needed to win the game, and then is that consistency, being able to do it for a half of a quarter?
I mean, is it consistency to be able to do
Whereas
it when,
I think the defense,
when a running back runs for 60 yards for you in one quarter and then you shut him down? Is that consistent?
But yeah, every week.
Every week what?
They've a lot.
The next week they got blown out.
Well, yeah. Didn't we both decide we're kind of throwing out the Cleveland game?
Well, we can't throw it out with the offense. You guys throw
it
in my face every time.
No, I'm throwing nothing in your face except that you don't know what consistency means.
Whatever.
I have a quick question. You know, I got the phone, so I'm always up to date on the latest news.
Yes,
reports.
Verizon.
Yes, Verizon, BlackBerry, Bold. The headline is Donovan fires back at T.O. That's the headline on ProFootballTalk.com.
What did T.O. rip Donovan
night,
for signing a contract?
T.O. said, T.O. tweeted, how do you justify a $78 million contract with this type of performance, Owen said, during the game?
By the way, T.O. should be ashamed of himself for his performance on Sunday. Go ahead.
And on Tuesday, McNabb responded. Under the headline, Donovan fires back. It's unbelievable how they can comment on what I'm doing over here, McNabb said.
That's it?
Yes, that's the quote.
Go get him,
that's
Donovan.
Firing back? I mean, it paraphrases and says, McNabb also pointed out that the Bengals are 2-7 and that the Bengals quarterback Carson Palmer makes more money than McNabb.
What are they?
But
3-6?
But bigger issue is,
four and
if
five?
That had been an inflammatory quote, you wouldn't be paraphrasing. You would have been putting the quote in there. You put the quote in and it's unbelievable how they can comment on what I'm, that's firing back? That's an embarrassment.
T.O., by the way.
About misleading your readers. It got me to click on it and I'm mad.
Andy, you probably didn't see this because I think they had the Jets game on here. But at the end of the game, Fred and I saw it. First, he runs like a little in-cut, and the pass was perfect. Was right exactly chest high, but he had to continue on to the middle of the field in between the hatches. No part of it. Just let it go. Got picked off. Didn't even put his arms out. Got picked off. Later in the game, they have the ball back inside their own 10 with, you know, down 6 at the end of the game. They drop back, and Palmer gets sacked. He walked like 25 yards downfield, walked back to the huddle as the clock. Tick, 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 tick. He walked the whole way. Ocho Cinco's on the other side of the field, like with his arms all like, what are you doing?
Wait a minute. Last week he was the one who was getting yelled at by his tackle, so he should keep his mouth shut and not be criticizing.
Like he was yelling at Palmer for something, not for effort.
No, I know, but
I'm not
just because you're not the bad diva receiver this week, keep your mouth shut.
He's a diva receiver. I never said that Chad Johnson wasn't a diva, but it was unbelievable. And Fred will tell you, it was striking how badly.
And there was even a play before all of that, a deep pass down the sideline.
He didn't even try to catch
it. He saw the guy coming, and he definitely lobster armed it.
I mean, it was to the point where
Deodorf was actually wondering, have long arms.
You know how
they stick way out in front of them.
You know how sometimes
those claws, they can't catch. They don't have fingers.
Never heard of somebody lobster arming.
That's because Fred made it up.
That's because you haven't listened to the show long enough.
That's a Kirsch exclusive.
Lobsters don't even really have arms.
No, but they're really long.
What a wet blanket he is.
That's going to cost me another Diet Coke.
Alligator
that was so
arm.
Funny.
Yes, he knows what
we
it is.
We know what the term is.
This
even
is like
the Kirschism.
This is like when EI says something.
Tyrannosaurus Rex, they have short, tiny arms.
T-Rex arms. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Haven't you ever seen Toy Story where he's playing the video game and he's doing the buttons on the left and he goes, could somebody reach the A button for me?
Tim in Baltimore says, how
Tim
is
A. You've never seen Toy Story?
No, I have.
You should.
Just a weird impression.
No, he's playing a big video and he's got the controller, but he can't reach
he laughing at you,
the pad and the buttons at the same time.
We know
I'm
what you're talking
your
about.
For
he was making fun of you.
You looked like a little boy with your legs and your arms flailing all over the place.
Because that's what Rex does.
Rex.
Tim in Baltimore says, how excited should we be? It looks like we're going to have Dallas Clark and Antonio Gates on the same team, meaning the type of players they are. Gates being...
Well, I don't think they compare.
Gronkowski
really.
And Clark
I don't think Gronkowski
being...
compares to either of those guys. I think Gates is a pure pass catcher. I think Gronkowski is a well-rounded tight end.
Yeah, I don't think any of them have the athleticism to compare with Gates, either one of them.
No, I don't like the comparison. Hernandez, I think, is a little Clarky.
A lot of Dallas Clark and Hernandez.
Right down to the drops.
Yeah, a lot of Dallas Clark. And by the way... You
also
know,
not overly physically... When you watch him, you don't think he's going to beat guys and have these plays.
He doesn't appear to be all that athletic.
But then he does. So I would. That's a the
Hernandez-Clark
Hernandez-Clark
thing, I think, is accurate. And I also want to say something.
G-Force is unlike any other tight end that's ever played the game.
Andy, you and I take a lot of heat for saying that Dallas Clark is quite overrated.
Yes.
Right? Drops a lot of passes.
Loose change.
Well,
I like where this is going.
I want to ask a question here. Have we been somewhat validated over the last 3 weeks by a fourth-round Jag stepping in and basically doing what Dallas Clark
does? Absolutely.
Well, it's like Edelman last year.
It's the offense.
No, it's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Tom Brady.
But everybody says...
Peyton Manning, who basically calls every play.
Do you know he was averaging less than 10 yards a catch, Dallas Clark? I mean, it was by far and away among the leaders in reception the lowest yardage total.
And when I watched a lot of that Colts game, and it's not, I mean, his number, Tammy's numbers are awesome too, but there are so many, like, he just looks for him every single play.
Yeah, he's been targeted 36 times.
He's not throwing,
weeks.
He's not throwing to Reggie Wayne at all anymore.
Yeah, well, because teams are very smart, and they're saying, I ain't letting Reggie Wayne beat me, I'll make him do it with someone else.
And they are.
And it's worked.
And the Patriots will do the same thing. Because we know Bill's going to say, the most dangerous guy on the field is Reggie Wayne, he's not beating us.
Is your boy going to cover Tammy? Colonel Sanders over there?
He could. They might put Chung on him.
He could do anything he wants.
Chung was guarding Randall L. a lot, which kind of annoyed me. I don't know how that...
Randall L. is terrible.
Well, to be fair, Chung was holding him for most of the game.
Well, that's what Chung does on defense.
He grabs him by the shoulder pad and flings him around.
Chung's a liability in coverage.
Well, especially on a guy like Randall L., who's got, like, world-class speed.
Craig, I say do it until they call it. Mm-hmm. And that's what Harrison used to do.
Absolutely.
They called it twice, but they could have called it more.
Ty Law did it.
Yeah. Craig in Ottawa says, what impact will the crowd noise have this weekend? I think it's fair to say it could be the loudest all season.
We're not playing in Indy, are we?
Actually, I think the crowd will come pumped up because of the Steelers game. They'll be ready to go, and then it'll peter out about, the second play of the game.
I'll be pumped up, Fred. Don't worry.
And it'll be great when they have Tully Bantakane and Brandon Merriweather come on. No, you've added one. Who is it now, Woodhead?
I think it was Woodhead, and he looks so confused when he's up on the board.
So we're really not going to get an impact player to do that, huh?
I don't know. It's not really in our... It's not. I'll put it this way. It's not like we haven't made the effort to get those
They had
players.
A good little film in Pittsburgh that they show on the board. Did you see the thing with the little like the Rock'em Sock'em robots
that
they had?
No, I didn't see
with
that.
The Pittsburgh shirt on and the Patriot shirt, and then they, you know, like the little puppets, and they kind of... They fight, and then
knock
all of a sudden
up.
The Patriots one goes
blows
over the,
up.
Goes, no, it goes over the ropes. It was just stupid stuff, but
they tried.
They got
what about,
into it. Yeah,
they have in-game entertainment there.
What about like if you had, like,
me too.
Instead of Merriweather or whatever, what if you had Pat the Patriot just, you know, up there?
He can't
he
talk.
Doesn't talk.
I know,
mascots
but I mean, like,
aren't allowed
waving
to talk.
His arms and doing
no.
all that stuff.
No.
So what are we miming now?
I was watching the Ohio State
Let's get
State
the Fox
game.
Robots to do that thing. When
I was watching Ohio State Penn State, Freddie, and they had Brutus up there, and he was, like, pounding on his chest on the Jumbotron and, like, making all
Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
No, Brutus the mascot.
Bulldog.
He's Thanks. Not a bulldog.
He's a Buckeye or something, right?
Yeah, he's like a cowboy.
What's
a Buckeye?
Like me. I don't know. I think it's wheat or grain or something.
Oh, it's a Penn State?
Isn't it like a gun?
I thought Buckeye was wheat.
They put
some kind of leaf, right?
Yeah.
Well,
don't they put a leaf
on
the helmet?
They whooped Fred State. Yeah, no, I thought it, I think State. It's a like a gunshot. Like a, I'll look for it.
It's not a gunshot, I don't think. I'm pretty sure it's a grain or a plant or something.
I thought it was some kind of vegetation.
Walter in Cambridge says, Collingsworth asked if we game plan for Mike Wallace.
Oh, yeah, and he said, what are you, effing stupid?
Oh, that was what Belichick said?
That's the
said?
One?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, that's not very nice.
Meaning they did?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a leaf.
I thought they had put leafs on the
not
back.
A gunshot.
I thought that, you know, the little stickers
that's
you get.
Buckshot.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to
buckshot.
Be
buckshot. Buckshot is the... is.
And by the way,
ammunition.
There's a car dealership in Florida that's given any. If you buy an F-150, you get an AK-47 free.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, in Florida?
I think it was Florida.
And that's actually funny because my birthday present next year, provided I don't, you know, die before your 11-month deadline for me, I was going
to
buy.
It's nothing to do with dying. It's you not just last.
Whatever.
Year.
I was going to buy myself.
Buckshot. An AK-47?
No, but
my
I was going to buy myself.
My high school baseball coach used to make fun of the guys, say, you couldn't hit a bull's ass with a buckshot.
Right.
My grandfather used to tell me I couldn't hit a baseball with a tennis racket.
It's not a buckshot. It's just buckshot.
That's not really...
He was a mean man.
That's not really nice for your grandfather.
Well, I'll tell you what.
He was a mean
Paul,
man, he says.
A lot of
Kevin. He was a nice guy, but he was tough on me. I was like ninth grade playing on the freshman team for high school. I hit a ball probably like 360 feet or so into the left field gap. Hit off the base of the wall. I thought it was gone when I hit it.
Where the hell were you playing with a 360-foot gap in freshman high school?
Cue the glory days.
No, but we had
made up.
We had an actual fence. Most freshman teams didn't even have fields with fences. So I hit it off the base of the wall.
Coyle had train tracks through the outfield.
Just listen, 360 feet, get thrown out by like 20 feet at second base. He got up and left because he was so embarrassed because I was so slow.
I'm proud of him.
Were you slow?
That's
slow.
You didn't trying. Run.
That's a little a mix of hot dogging it and being.
You were
really
that slow.
I was that slow. I still am that slow. 360
feet and you couldn't get to second base.
Hit the base of the wall, caromed right to the center fielder. He made
it was
a good throw.
It was a good bounce. Bounce right back to him.
It was a good bounce. I thought it was gone.
What was the wall made out of, by the way? It wasn't even a chain link fence. You got a good carom with a good bounce.
No, it's a legit.
So
wall.
They had a hard warning track and a hard wall.
Yeah, we have nice fields.
Where'd you play?
Plymouth North.
I can't comment. South of the city.
I'm saying he made this.
I don't know what
this is like Eric's 60-yard punting average.
If it
was north
field.
Of the city, I would have commented on
well,
that.
Well, also, Andy, right. Aluminum bats do wonders for...
Yeah, not for the bounce off a chain-link fence. That's why...
It's not a chain-link
usually
fence.
Usually goes, kish, and just sits
why
there.
Why are you talking so fast? What's the matter?
Not a chain-link fence.
Did a high school football player die?
Yes. Oxford. Local. Oxford, Mass.
Oh, yeah. Really?
He didn't die in the game. He collapsed in the game and died yesterday.
Hey, can I give a shout-out to my nephew?
Sure.
Ryan Lipka from Bishop Fenway High School.
Lipka. Yeah.
He caught 6 passes this week, which gives him 105 catches for the year. And that is a Massachusetts state record. I believe 95 was the previous record.
Wow.
So single season, he's up to 105 catches. Now, I will say it's definitely they went to a spread offense, and Fenwick throws the ball 40 to 50 times a game, and they're not really good. They're
so it's like Texas Tech's offense.
They have they're 4-6. They have 1 game left, and they're not a real good team. But he's had an unbelievable senior year for himself. He had 1 catch going into this year.
Is he going to play anywhere?
No, he's not a blood relative.
No, he's actually Beth's nephew. Right.
Is he going to play anywhere, Paul?
No, he doesn't want to play in college.
Now, Paul, Danny Ventura is pretty much the expert on high school football.
That's correct.
In New England.
That's correct.
And what was his observation on your nephew's record?
Anybody could catch 100 passes in that shit league.
Paul!
I had to say it. That's what he said.
I didn't really mean for you to swear.
I have some good stories.
Danny actually... was only kidding when he said
that.
No,
I know.
And
kind of like Teddy Bruschi's sack record at Arizona.
It was pretty cool, though. Last week was his last.
People say that about
this
that record.
This thing is a whopping 16 inches.
Yeah, why would they say
anybody
that
anybody can
Teddy
have
Bruschi.
60 sacks in the
Pac-10?
At
the 1A level?
Well, I thought Paul said it when we drafted him.
No, it's kind of like Paul saying Wes Welker had 128 catches.
And
that would be the comparison.
That would be more accurate.
His nephew is loose change.
That would be more accurate.
Okay.
But anyway...
I give the kid credit.
It was his last
game.
You got
to catch the ball.
Right.
I give him a round of applause.
I can throw it to Paul 115 times. He's not going to catch it every time.
It was his last game as his...
He doesn't even like his own relatives.
I caught a pass from the great Andy Hart on Friday.
You did, on the football field.
It was kind of cool last
Friday.
This started
with Paul giving a shout-out to him not liking him.
This is unbelievable. I'm trying to give him a shout-out.
All right, go ahead.
They stopped.
I'm defending my nephew.
When he caught his 100th pass, they stopped the game. They had a nice ceremony for him. It was his last home game. Last week they played, by the way, St. Mary's of Lynn, who was outstanding. Best team I've seen all year. But it was pretty cool.
St. Mary's of Lynn?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've even heard of them.
Who cares what you heard of?
You've heard of them?
Check out ESPN Boston. See if they're in the poll.
I have heard of them.
They're in like they have like a top 25 every week.
So it was pretty cool to watch that and be a part of. And I've been at most of the games. It's been a lot of fun. He's had three games this year. He caught 16 passes, and 17 passes in individual games.
Okay.
But this week was not one of his better ones. He only had six catches and didn't get much yardage.
All right, that's quite the shout out. Let's see. Bob writes,
well, it was strange.
Would have been a lot shorter if he didn't just keep making fun of him.
Maybe you wouldn't have sworn either.
Right.
That was intentional.
Irony, said Bob. The Patriots have been criticized lately before the Steelers game for its lack of offense, but have scored more points than any other offense in the NFL after week 10, 258, 1 point of the Eagles, who scored 59 yesterday. And for a team that is tied for the best record overall, the Patriots' defense has the worst record in terms of percentage of passes completed against it, 68.8%. So a couple ironies. But you got to remember, a lot of those points for the Patriots came on returns.
Including another touchdown this week.
Yeah, so look, the Patriots have been middle of the road statistically to the bottom when it comes to some of the defense. But
oh, no, they haven't been middle of the road. They've been
not defense is
they've
bottom.
Been bottom.
Yeah.
The offense
has been
road.
Middle of the road.
But when it comes to team play, obviously they've done what they had to do to get to be a 7-2.
I thought what was interesting last week was the only thing they were above average in the National Football League rankings in was their running offense. They ranked 15th. Passing offense was 20th, pass defense 21st, run defense 20-something. And you don't think of them as A, being a running team, and B, even having run the ball all that well this year. And that was the only thing they were above average in.
No, this was one of the rare times that I thought that there was nothing misleading about their running numbers.
Well, no.
They lined up and ran the ball.
I agree. Quick question. Looking ahead just quickly to the Colts here as a potential concern, I was skimming Bill Belichick. You know, I have a smartphone now, Fred.
Verizon. Yes, Verizon.
Bill Belichick's press conference just arrived.
Verizon.
Talking about the Colts' no-huddle offense.
Yep.
Is that a concern? I mean, personnel-wise. This team does a lot of rotating, defensive line, linebacker, and secondary.
Sure it is.
Is it a concern that you're going to get forced into picking 11 guys and playing?
Yeah, and that's, you know, the Colts do it for the same reason the Patriots do it, is to, a lot of times, keep the defense from...
Do you have 11 you're comfortable lining up with for an entire drive or an entire extended playing time?
Yeah, I think...
I think
it's a very situational
the problem
team.
With the Colts have is they don't have the running game to complement it.
But if Adai's back.
So I think you can start out.
I hurt him pretty badly the last couple of times he's faced them, too.
I think you can start out on your sub defense with the Colts and stick with it for most of the game. I don't think you need to, you know, worry about being caught out of your base defense.
Well, I'm sure that he's going to go to the sub.
Yeah.
He's going to play. If he has to pick 11, Andy, I think he'll pick some kind of sub package. But
okay, so give me your 11 guys that are going to play.
But I'll just. I wanted to.
Ignore the question?
No, to back up your side, the sub defense has not included Vince Wilfork.
Right.
I think Vince Wilfork will be on the field.
But I think so he's versatile enough to do that. Now he'll
so
get
you'll
winded.
Have to figure that
conditioning
out.
Will be an issue for
yeah,
a man
you'll
of
have
his
to
size.
Figure that out. I think you have to kind of go with a little bit of a hybrid and go big up front and then with extra defensive backs. Because
so
if you,
right Wilfork Warren up front?
Or Pryor. Pryor didn't dress last game. Dedrick's been getting a lot of time lately. I just think
those three are the most versatile to rush the passer and stop the run.
Yeah, I think if you go, you know, small up front the way they have been in sub packages, I think you can get run on.
So we're going to see like a 3-3-6. I mean 3-3-5. Three linebackers.
I think you're
out
probably going to see some sort of hybrid defense.
You could.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't know what.
But let me warn you.
How many
you
times
guys,
have we been wrong trying to figure out what Bill's?
Let me
do?
Warn you guys.
Preach
all
it,
the, all
it.
The people that are on the blog. Peyton will get his yards. Okay. He may not win the game, but he's going to get his yards. So when he does, don't panic. Do not panic.
Well, first of all, anybody who plays the Patriots are
Did
going
you
to get their
yards.
Does
anybody have a complete and total argument with nobody in particular the way he does?
When was the last time the Patriots didn't allow somebody
you,
to have their yards?
You should see in the blog. I mean, the first time the other
but
team.
But the game hasn't even started, and you're already arguing
I'm,
with people
I'm
on a,
telling
on
you,
a
right?
blog
I'm,
that doesn't
I said,
exist.
It's a warning. It's a warning. It's a preemptive strike. Let's see. Preston from Brockton says, I've been listening to the Pittsburgh Sports Radio, and they are destroying the Steelers. They said that the coach sucks and that Pittsburgh is not the team they thought they were. It had me thinking, wow, that sounds very familiar. So I guess we are not the only ones who take losses badly and criticize the entire organization following a beatdown. They were also complaining that Brady was whining and looking at the refs after every play.
That's true.
All I saw is that the refs don't throw a flag for anything that the Steelers did. But all I saw was yellow flags going against us. True. This fan, not opinion. This fan are, their fans are worse than ours. It's just funny to see the reaction sometimes just to see, see how other teams take losses. And in the end, we all sound the same. So, we all sound the same.
Yes, after a bad loss, most fans sound the same.
Too much complaining, too much emphasis, I think, on the losses, not enough on the wins. For all fans.
Gene in Daytona Beach is always writing in about more AK-47. He wants more.
Well, 47 is gone. That was Jake Ingram. So now it's just the AK. We're going to have to come up with a new
and,
one.
He
Who's
said,
the new guy, AK-48?
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
And he also wants to know why not more Pete Shepard. And he and Kevin are great on that show. So.
Kevin's
on
that
show. If you like Pete Shepard, he's coming up at 4 o'clock today. So, Stripper says the Dolphins are bringing in some quarterbacks. They're trying out Patrick Ramsey, Jamarcus Russell, JT O'Sullivan, Tom Brandstatter, and Tommy Grady.
Yeah, did you ever hear of Tommy Grady?
No.
I never heard that name either.
Formerly of Oklahoma, then transferred to Utah, and now he's in arena football.
Now we know why Strippers knows him. Formerly of Oklahoma.
No, well, I saw on the scroll that Tommy Grady was one of the guys they had. I didn't see Jamarcus Russell, but
didn't it work out Jamarcus Russell?
JT O'Sullivan and Patrick Ramsey are the two guys that basically.
That Brandstatter one's a good. I like him.
I think he's a developmental guy. I wouldn't bring him in necessarily
he's
now.
He's got a much stronger arm than Colt McCoy.
Hey, did you do the Friars last night?
I did.
Do they look as bad as the final score would indicate, or was Yale good?
Yale wasn't terrible, but, I mean, you know, it's what happens when you play 6-7 freshmen.
Okay.
It's going to be that kind of a...
How's PC going to be this year, basketball?
I think he just
basketball.
Kind of told you. They had six or seven freshmen.
Six or seven freshmen.
Oh, you
so
said... Oh.
Very, very unpredictable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know...
Do they have potential coming down the road?
Yeah, and no. but it's going to be a year or two. That's yeah. the problem. Okay. You know, you're
Isn't
just
that how
they're
it always
incredibly
is,
young.
Though?
So.
They're always...
I always feel like they're young and they're going to be good in 2 years.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
happens in 2 years?
They get arrested.
So Andy and I
you
have
said
a,
that I didn't. That did not come from me. I want to make certain that you said that. Okay.
Andy and I have a question for you.
Yes.
Coming off what we all think is one of the most impressive Patriots performances in years.
Yeah.
What are you going to focus on Nitpick Tuesday?
What do you got? What do you got lined up?
Why would I want to give you everything? You know, because I'm going
to
spend the next 2 hours
like
talking about.
I would like to step inside the playbook and see what we're going to nitpick about.
What we're going
to
nitpick about? I still think that potentially the defensive back coverage is soft.
I would agree.
Okay. See, there's
penalties.
One. Penalties. Yeah, number yeah. two. I mean, although it was better, but I mean, you know, the interference penalty on Merriweather. I mean, come on, you gotta have
you
a little
like
bit.
You didn't like that call either.
No, I didn't like.
I
it.
Had no problem with it.
There was some
oh, you mean, oh, wait a second. You mean you thought it was interference?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Oh,
I did,
you did
too.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was too. But I'm looking at it from Merriweather's point of view, and I'm thinking, come on, you got to have better smarts than
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
Okay. I just thought that Merriweather
I think
was
he
one
ran
of those
right
things
through
where.
Guy.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I said, come on, you got to have better awareness of that. So.
COE of little faith
know, when,
over there,
when
Andy.
You're looking
John
up in the air
Rook
for
come
the
up
ball,
with nitpicks.
I don't know how you can know that the guy. I don't
picking
know.
Some nits.
And now you can, oh, you mean, well, you know, again, it's all about having awareness of what the situation is on the field
I
for
guess,
him. And I think that sometimes Brandon Merriweather, his biggest problem, okay, I'm going to give away my nitpick now. His biggest problem is the fact that he doesn't seem to have total field awareness. He gets in a zone, he puts on those blinders, and he just attacks the receiver or whatever. He doesn't look at the big picture like, okay, this is third down and such, if I make this play, I mean, guys have to be thinking out mm-hmm. there in the field. I don't think Merriweather's a thinker. I think he's a reactor. And I'm not so sure that's a good thing back there.
Certainly not for a deep safety.
Yep. All right, well, that's you can get all your nitpicks out coming up at 2 o'clock with John
Rook. Totally dismissed
hey,
the pick.
Northeastern won!
Most
oh, my God!
Oh, God, we
that?
Know. He was running Woo! Around the studio like a
yes!
nut.
I may have torn a rotator cuff with a fist pump at the end.
He almost broke my knuckles.
I want to watch the LaSalle game because the Friars have him next week down in Cancun.
Oh,
that's where I'll be next
oh,
week.
Oh, really?
Hey,
this man's scouting while he's working.
So do you get to go down to Cancun, you lie around the pool in your speedo.
Lie around the pool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
in
when
my
we talk
speedo.
To you in your
nice.
Your mother's basement's going to be in Cancun
I wouldn't even
next
see.
Week?
What's that?
Your mother's basement's going to be in Cancun next week?
Mother's basement will be in Cancun.
Wow.
Actually, we may have a return of AK-47. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I do. No.
Depends on the
Andy loved it. Are you kidding me?
All you right. got your own fan club.
We
got
to get
brother.
Going. We'll see you tomorrow. Another edition of PFW Progress. Stay tuned for Playbook and Pete Shepard at 4 o'clock.
Third down and five for Tom Brady. And the Pats at the Pittsburgh 25. Direct snap to Brady. Has time. Floats it long and deep. Gronkowski's got it. Hat trick touchdowns for Rob Gronkowski. His third touchdown of the game.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.